using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Wednesday, the 21st of July, year of our Lord, 2021, day 494 of America Held Hostage. Well, today we're going to take a look at the very important back and forth between Rand Paul and Fauci, the Godfather. We're going to analyze that and show you how Rand Paul is exactly right. He is saying that he's going to file criminal charges against Fauci. That is very important to do. I hope that goes through. We'll talk about that more. Stay with us. Talk about gain of function, and of course, one of the most important gain of functions that we've seen in the last year is the gain of function of people like Fauci. Government in general, healthcare professionals, people that we have to listen to, the public health sector, they have become our dictators. We need to talk about that gain of function as well. I'm glad that Rand Paul is going after the point man on this. Because he is the one, Fauci, and the Fauci worship behind all of this, the kowtowing behind all this. And that began, let's understand, with Trump. Trump putting him on the podium. Trump elevating him as the authority for everything, deferring to him. Sheepishly name-dropping hydroxychloroquine. And then putting out some nonsense about injecting light into your veins and things like that. So that he could look stupid. And Fauci could look smart. It's not hard. When Trump is doing the types of things that he was doing last year, you almost have to ask, was that deliberate to try to make Fauci look like a genius by comparison? And again, pretty much anybody could look like a genius by comparison to Trump. But he knows what he's doing. He's not stupid. It's betrayal. But let's talk specifically about Fauci. And let's begin, before we play the clip, of what happened yesterday. I think it's important for you to hear the clip because you've got to see how Fauci loses it. It really got to him. He first of all forgot to punch in and started talking, and they had to yell at him and tell him to punch, open up his mic. And then he really lost it. Really, it really got underneath his skin. And it should, because he has committed perjury. We have to call out the emperor. The emperor is Fauci. We have to tell everybody the emperor has no clothes, and that's exactly what Rand Paul did yesterday. So I'm glad that he did that. We need to go much, much further, but it is where it needs to start. And let's start, before we get into this, let's do a short, quick timeline of what's happened with the NIH, with Francis Collins, who heads the NIH, and Fauci, who heads the infectious disease aspect of that. And they have been involved in gain-of-function for quite some time, going back to January the 24th, 2013, January. They put out a statement. This is the title, a document, and you can still see it at NIH website. A statement of Collins and Fauci. They call them doctors. I don't call them doctors. Statement of Collins and Fauci concerning intention to lift moratorium. So there had been a moratorium imposed, and they said, well, we're going to lift it in 2013. Now, in 2013 and 14, there were a lot of stories, and rightfully so, about lab accidents at the NIH labs and research labs throughout America. There was a series of articles done at USA Today, primarily by Allison Young. She did a great job of doing the research. The thing that kind of kicked it off was what happened at the National Primate Center when they brought in a bacteria that was only found in two places on Earth. And they brought it in. It was a very bad bacteria. If you got an infection with it, you had a case fatality rate of 40%. 40%. Burkholderia pseudomallei. They brought that into the National Primate Lab in the university that was affiliated with part of the Tuskegee legacy that was there. They were working on a biosafety level 3 lab. It escaped that lab somehow. They never did find out. They found that it was the National Primate Center that was there, part of that biosafety level 3 lab, was there at the primate center. And they noticed that some of the monkeys had come down with it, and they had not been inside the lab. So how did they get that? Now, this is a bacteria that gets in the soil and propagates. It's very dangerous in that respect. Very high case fatality rate, and it propagates and embeds itself in the soil. And yet they brought it in for gain-of-function research because a 40% case fatality rate is not good enough for them. And as we see in these hearings between Rand Paul and Fauci, they also want them to have transmissibility enhanced between species and between humans. That's the whole point of the gain of function. That's the gain that they're working for, to make them more deadly, to make them more easily spread. So as they looked at this, they were very concerned about it. The CDC sent in a team of people. One of the individuals came down with Burkholderia pseudomallei as they were searching the facility, searching the grounds. They put out a press release and said, nothing to worry about. I'm sure she contracted it somewhere else. Oh, really? Really? Where? So it was a cover-up. Allison Young got on that, started doing general investigations across the board. It became a big issue with Congress. Congress said, we want you to stop this. And so even though they had restarted the moratorium that had been imposed by a lot of different countries, and it had been imposed there, they restarted it in 2013. Then they shut it down again after the congressional hearings in 2014, after a lot of very, very bad publicity. I mean, we're talking about Three Stooges kinds of mistakes here. They had masks that were defective, that had holes in them to start with, not, you know, so that employees would get infected and then they would travel to the outside. Many, many cases of animals escaping, mice and things like that. I mean, you understand mice can escape. That's kind of understandable. But when you have apes who are escaping the lab, that's kind of a red flag of incompetence, isn't it? Or at least the bacteria. So a lot of ventilation problems, a lot of equipment problems, a lot of lax handling, a lot of, I don't know where it went type of stuff with infected animals. So they stopped it. They said, stop it. And when they stopped it, Francis Collins put an escape clause down at the bottom of the document. Oh, by the way, even though we're stopping this, we will resume it if I make the determination to do it, if I feel like it's an emergency or something like that. Now, they had already begun this type of research at UNC Chapel Hill, about a half dozen different university labs around the country. And the next year, they came under a great deal of criticism from the medical community that was involved in this, a specialist, because they released the findings from UNC Chapel Hill. Now, this same scientist who is involved with all this bat coronavirus stuff and with Wuhan, this is the thing that bothers me about all this investigation, even by what Rand Paul is saying. Nobody wants to talk about the domestic connections. Nobody wants to talk about what's going on at UNC Chapel Hill and these other universities. They want to focus strictly on Wuhan. And I think that kind of narrow exclusion does not serve us well, because the real problem, folks, ain't the Chinese. It's the NIH. Yeah, the Chinese are a problem, but the bigger problem, the much, much bigger problem, is Francis Collins and Anthony Fauci and their institution. They're the epicenter of all of this stuff. We have 200 biosafety level 3 and level 4 labs. The Chinese only have one there at Wuhan. And now that was the big smoking gun from the very beginning. It's just too much of a coincidence. But, of course, the people who have been pushing this so-called pandemic and who are excusing the vaccines, they're coincidence theorists. It doesn't matter how many people drop dead within 3 days of getting the vaccine. It's just a coincidence. And it was just a coincidence that the only biosafety level 4 lab in China was right there at the epicenter, exactly where they said it began. And it's just a coincidence. All of this stuff is just a coincidence. I mean, this is John Stewart level satire. I mean, are you seriously going to keep defending this? And yes, we saw yesterday that the political left jumped down, doubled down on their nonsense, just as you saw Stephen Colbert double down against Stewart. I mean, they have lost it. They're incapable of thinking critically at all because the base really believes this stuff. Fauci doesn't believe this stuff, but they do. He knows exactly what he's doing. So when they released that information, you had the medical community, the research community that was involved in that was furious. You had people saying, there is absolutely no reason for us to be involved in this. Nothing good can come out of this gain-of-function research, and the likelihood is that it's going to be released accidentally or possibly even deliberately. You've got to stop this. You were supposed to stop this. This is unethical. It's illegal to do this. And then Francis Collins said, you notice that little clause that I've got at the bottom there? And it says, in my determination, well, I determined that I wanted to continue this research at Chapel Hill and about a half dozen labs. So they continued the research at those, but they supposedly they had reduced it and they had shut down supposedly some of these programs. But that's also when they opened up and moved things over to China to escape some of that scrutiny and criticism that they were under. And then the final timeline episode here happened in December 19th, 2017. This document also on the NIH's website titled NIH Lifted Moratorium. Okay, so I'm sorry, that's not the, I don't think that is, that's just my notes here. They lifted the moratorium on December the 31st, 2017. Who was president then? Let's see, 2017, December. Yeah, that would be Don. That was, Donald was president. This all happened on his watch, okay? Nothing was done by him. Totally clueless. They do that in December 19th, 2017. A couple of years later, he's following Fauci around, looking for treats to be thrown his way, like some kind of lapdog. President Trump didn't know. That's what we're hearing from the people making excuses for him, you know. You know who I'm talking about, right? The 4D chess guy. Oh, yeah, he didn't know. Yeah, this Fauci, he's really bad. But, you know, the whole year, President Trump didn't know. He didn't even know when people were telling him, fire Fauci. And he said before the election, he said, yeah, I might do that. I'll have to see. Then after the election, he still doesn't do anything. Nothing. He is still bragging about his Trump shots. So, it is betrayal. He's not that stupid. Besides, it is his responsibility either way. Even if he was deceived, it's his responsibility. Personnel is policy. That's the axiom. If you want to get something done, Washington is so big, nobody can know everything that's going on. So you got to put in there people who are going to enforce your policy. Who did Trump put in? Well, you know, he put in these people who were military-industrial complex generals who wanted forever wars. You know, people like Mattis, other people like that. He put in bankers, Goldman Sachs bankers. He put in big pharmaceutical executives and HHS and FDA, the revolving door that was there. So when you put people in there like that, and then there's, you get blowback from your base because they violated everything that you said you're going to do. So you fire them and you make a big deal out of that. And then you put somebody else in there exactly like that person. If your personnel is policy, what does Trump's personnel tell you about his policy? Never put in anybody that worked to do anything that he said as a candidate. except for Scott Pruitt at the EPA. And then the Washington mob tarred and feathered him and ran him out of town, and Trump did nothing to defend him and put in a weak person. So that's kind of the general timeline. And when we talk about gain of function, as I said at the beginning of the program, we need to understand that the real gain of function is this out-of-control bureaucracy, these so-called public health officials, beginning with Fauci, who have become dictators. And so it is important, and it's very important, that Rand Paul expose the fact that our emperor has no clothes. So I want to play for you, and then we'll go back and we'll talk about some of the key factors here, because it gets pretty hot and heavy, and they're talking over each other and talking very quickly. But the analysis of this, if you look at social media, breaks down pretty much along political lines. And Rand Paul was attacked by some of these trolls as being, oh, yeah, he's just a country eye doctor. It's like, oh, yeah, well, what is your degree in? Is it in thinkology or something? You get the Wizard of Oz thing, that metal around your neck. Yeah, he's a medical doctor who specializes in ophthalmology. To be an ophthalmologist, you have to first qualify as an MD, and then it's a specialty over and above that. He's not out there doing just eye charts. I mean, that's an optician. I'm not knocking what opticians do, and it requires training. But there's a lot of medical training, basic medical training, that goes into being an ophthalmologist. it's just amazing, the stuff that you see. But we'll talk about this, and you can see exactly what the facts are. So let's first give a little bit of the back-and-forth exchange here between Rand Paul and Fauci. Rand Paul lays out a very good case, and I wanted to play this clip for you so that you could hear the presentation, but also so that you could see the the body language, shall we call it, of Fauci as he's called out for being a liar. He really does lose it. Here we go.
Dr. Fauci, as you are aware, it is a crime to lie to Congress. Section 1001 of the U.S. Criminal Code creates a felony and a 5-year penalty for lying to Congress. On your last trip to our committee on May 11th, you stated that the NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And yet, gain-of-function research was done entirely in the Wuhan Institute by Dr. Xi and was funded by the NIH. I'd like to ask unanimous consent to insert into the record the Wuhan virology paper entitled Discovery of a Rich Gene Pool of Bat SARS-Related Coronaviruses. Please deliver a copy of the journal article to Dr. Fauci. In this paper, Dr. Xi credits the NIH and lists the actual number of the grant that she was given by the NIH. In this paper, she took two bat coronavirus genes, spike genes, and combined them with a SARS-related backbone to create new viruses that are not found in nature. These lab-created viruses were then shown to replicate in humans. These experiments combined genetic information from different coronaviruses that infect animals but not humans to create novel artificial viruses able to infect human cells. Viruses that in nature only infect animals were manipulated in the Wuhan lab to gain the function of infecting humans. This research fits the definition of the research that the NIH said was subject to the pause in 2014 to 2017, a pause in funding on gain of function. But the NIH failed to recognize this, defines it away, and it never came under any scrutiny. Dr. Richard E. Bright, a molecular biologist from Rutgers, described this research in Wuhan as, "The Wuhan lab used NIH funding to construct novel chimeric SARS-related coronaviruses able to infect human cells and laboratory animals. This is high-risk research that creates new potential pandemic pathogens that exist only in the lab, not in nature. This research matches," these are Dr. Ebright's words, "this research matches, indeed epitomizes, the definition of gain-of-function research done entirely in Wuhan, for which there was supposed to be a federal pause." Dr. Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, Do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
He forgets to turn his mic on here.
Your microphone.
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. This paper that you are referring to was judged by qualified staff up and down the chain as not being gain of function.
You take an animal virus and you increase its transmissibility to humans,
right.
You're saying that's not gain of function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly. And I want to say that officially. You do not know what you are
Mr.
talking
Science.
About. Okay, you get
NIH,
one person.
Let's read from the NIH definition of gain of function. This is your definition that you guys wrote. It says that scientific research that increases the transmissibility among mammals is gain of function. They took animal viruses that only occur in animals, and they increased their transmissibility to humans. How you can say that is not gain of function?
It is not.
It's a dance, and you're dancing around this because you're trying to obscure responsibility for 4 million people dying around the world from a pandemic.
It's gain of function according to his own definition.
I have to, well, now you're getting into something. If the point that you are making is that the grant that was funded as a subaward from EcoHealth to Wuhan created SARS-CoV-2. That's where you are getting. Let me finish.
We don't know.
Well,
we don't
wait
know
a minute.
If it did
I
come
can,
from the lab, but all the evidence is pointing that it came from the lab,
you,
and there will be responsibility for those who funded the lab, including yourself.
I totally
This committee
resent,
will allow the witness to respond.
I totally resent the lie that you are now propagating, Senator.
It resembles that remark.
Because if you look at the viruses that were used in the experiments that were given in the annual reports that were published in the literature, it is molecularly impossible.
No one's saying those viruses caused it.
It is molecularly.
Those viruses caused the pandemic. What we're alleging is that gain of function research was going on in that lab and NIH funded it.
That is
not. Get away from it. It meets your definition and you are obfuscating the truth.
I'm not obfuscating the truth. You are the one.
Time is expired, but I will allow the witness to.
Let me just finish. I want everyone to understand that if you look at those viruses, and that's judged by qualified virologists and evolutionary biologists. Those viruses are molecularly impossible to result in SARS-CoV-2.
Caused the pandemic. We're saying they are gain-of-function viruses because they were animal viruses that became more transmissible in human, and you funded it.
And you
admit the truth.
And you implying.
Senator Paul, your time has expired, and I will allow witnesses who come before this committee to respond.
And you are implying that what we did was responsible for the deaths of individuals. I totally resent
that. Could
have
been.
And if anybody is lying here, Senator, it is you.
Final finger point there.
Senator Smith.
I'm surprised the Democrats didn't break out in applause as the woman who's chairing that is, of course, a Democrat trying to defend Fauci. I liked this comment on Twitter. Rand Paul brings receipts. Dr. Fauci responds with third grade insults like, "You don't know what you're talking about. No, you're the liar." But of course, the libs side with the longest serving, highest paid D.C. bureaucrat who did fund gain of function research at Wuhan. But I would also add, and elsewhere, all over the place. Let's not just exclusively focus on Wuhan. Yeah, let's discredit this SOB, but let's not let these guys get away with gain-of-function research at Tulane or at UNC Chapel Hill or any of these other 200-plus labs that they're doing it all over the country. Think about that. That's an average of 4 per state. It's probably one in a neighborhood near you, especially if you're close to a university. I didn't even know what was going on at UNC Chapel Hill at that time. We lived there, and they were doing this kind of stuff. Not too far from where we live. So, I guess we saw Fauci turn into Dr. No there, right? Bond villain. Again, it began, Paul saying, knowing it's a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement? And, of course, he didn't. He doubled down on the lies even after Rand Paul read him their definition of what gain of function is. You don't know what you're talking about there. Remember, it was Kerry Mullis, who the inventor of the PCR test, the guy who won a Nobel Prize for that, furious with Fauci, the way he was lying and deceiving people about AIDS. And he said, he doesn't know anything about my test. He's misusing my test. He will look straight in the camera and lie to your face. And we saw that again yesterday. Kerry Mullis furious about him. Paul grilled Fauci in May about the $600,000 in funding allocated to EcoHealth Alliance, which then turned around and paid the Wuhan Institute of Virology to study how bat coronavirus could infect humans. He's laundering the money through an intermediary, right? That's what the Godfather's doing here. You're entirely and completely incorrect, said Fauci. The NIH has not ever, does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute. I did not have research with that institute. He is prevaricating around the bush, just like Bill Clinton, isn't he? Zero Hedge put in their title, a frazzled Fauci erupts after a Rand Paul grilling. They also refer to the phrase popularized by millennials that Rand Paul found the receipts and he brought them there. He came loaded with facts, and Fauci, the best he could do is say that he resented the facts. And of course, he resents being called a mass murderer, which he is in a number of ways. He's murdered a lot of things, murdered a lot of people. With the suicide rates for kids are many orders of magnitude higher than kids who died from COVID. But he has destroyed our society. He's destroyed our Constitution to a level that we've never seen before. He's killed a lot of things, and a lot of people have died from financially incentivized medical malpractice based around what he demanded to do. A good example of it is just remdesivir. Look at how Fauci has pimped for that endlessly. His friends there at Gilead, don't tell me that Fauci isn't getting kickbacks from these people the way that he's pushing these useless and phenomenally expensive drugs like remdesivir. He tried to push it for AIDS. He tried to push it for Ebola. He successfully pushed it with this, even after you had a World Health Organization study put out, said remdesivir is absolutely ineffective with this. And as a matter of fact, we had more people die that had it than died with it. Without, I should say. And so even after that, you know, Fauci gets them to take that down. We don't know it was Fauci, but it just magically disappeared off of the World Health Organization's website that same day, but not before some people saw it. And then within a week, Fauci put up his own study, non-peer-reviewed, and pronounced remdesivir the standard of care, even though it didn't, still, according to his data, it didn't help survival rates. But he claimed that that people who did survive got better 30% faster. And on the basis of that, billions of dollars flowed into the coffers of Gilead for selling that useless drug. It was eventually removed by the EU after they did some more studies and determined, yes, it is ineffective. But people getting better faster has never been the standard for defining a therapeutic as a standard of care or for even approving it. It was always whether or not it actually addressed the condition. So in this back and forth yesterday, as Zero Hedge points out, Fauci claimed the U.S. had never financed gain-of-function projects at Wuhan. But again, as you heard, Rand Paul said, well, you take an animal virus, you increase its transmissibility to humans, and you're saying that's not gain-of-function? That's correct, says Fauci. Well, that is gain-of-function. We all know that. Common sense tells you that, but their own definition tells you that. And then he goes on and says, yeah, that's correct. And Senator Paul, I want to say to you, you do not know what you're talking about. I just want to say that officially. And because he said it officially, he is the official. Everything that Fauci says, whether it's masks are useless or masks are mandatory, everything he says is official. And we follow this official because, you know, Trump put him on the podium, left him on the podium, left him in charge, basically abdicated everything to Fauci, never did anything to bring up anybody who would push back against him. And, of course, Rand Paul and all the Republicans kept silent for the entire time because, you know, he was under Trump. We don't want to criticize somebody who's under Trump, do we? I mean, you could get fired for that or something. Paul said that during his May 11th testimony, Fauci stated the NIH has never and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And so as you look at the back and forth, the thing that I was found very amusing was that, that Fauci kept repeating, I think he did it three times, used the phrase, it's molecularly impossible. Molecularly impossible. What does that mean? If you're doing genetic modification, is what they're doing. They're talking about gain of function is basically GMO, right? Genetically modified organisms. If you're genetically modifying organisms, there isn't anything that's molecularly impossible. Nothing at all. That's what people need to understand and be afraid of, that there is nothing that is molecularly impossible or impossible in any other technology, because now we have gotten to the point, as God said about the Tower of Babel, they all came together, and nothing that they decided to do would be impossible for them to do, right? And we have overcome the language barriers that we have. We now have a common language. English is largely common. And the language of science and math, certainly math is a language in and of itself. And you don't need to speak English even to understand this stuff, even to understand technical papers. I've said before, when I first went to Texas Instruments, I was part of a group of people that were going to be it's an entry-level position because, I just graduated. But we're going to be support liaisons for people who are going to be doing custom integrated circuits around the world. And so I was there on the American side. They had people from Britain, Germany, Japan, and other places. Those are the main ones I remember. Some of them spoke English and some of them didn't. But they could all understand what was going on by reading the documents. They could read English and they could read math. They could read schematics. And so what you've got now with a worldwide internet is you've now overcome the Babel effect. Or as Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy would put it, we've now become de-Babelized. We've become Sodom and Gomorrahized, though, at the same time. But getting back to this, nothing is molecularly impossible. That is what should concern us about these people. Because not only can they do anything that they wish with the massive amounts of information that they have, being able to network all of that information, being able to network all of these minds together, and the massive amounts of resources that they can command with fiat currencies and their dark budgets, we should also understand that there is absolutely no restraints for these people morally. And you can see that in Fauci as well, can't you? Nothing restrains him. His morals. So it is not molecularly impossible, and he is capable of doing anything. He is morally capable of doing anything without any restrictions. That's the key takeaway. Sarah Hedge says, as we previously reported, the Dr. Fauci-led NIH effectively helped to finance much of the gain-of-function research involving the bat coronaviruses going on at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And, of course, that's a real sore point with Zero Hedge because they were kicked off of Twitter. For about a week, because they simply published the LinkedIn profile of one of the scientists who was bragging about the fact that combining bat and coronavirus together in a gain-of-function way was his specialty and that he worked there. And they said, look at this, he's got this up even on LinkedIn. And they said, you doxed this guy. It's like, it's not doxing him if you show a screenshot of what he put out in public on his LinkedIn profile. So they point out Dr. Fauci has in the past, when he was criticized about gain of function, defiantly said, well, it's worth the risk. And that's the way he was responding to people. He and Francis Collins were responding to people when they said there's absolutely nothing good that can come out of this. He said, it's worth the risk, back in 2015. They said gain-of-function research has been illegal in the U.S. for years. Now, that's factually not true. I don't normally see Zero Hedge making a mistake like that, but that's factually not true. It should be. It is technically a violation of the bioweapons treaties, but it's not treated as illegal in the U.S. They lifted that moratorium. They've been funding it. They openly violate the international treaties on bioweapons. So you could say that it is against the law because of international treaty, but it's not anything that the federal government has attempted to restrain. They've pretty much just left it up to Francis Collins at head of the NIH and Fauci to decide whatever they want to do. And they give them unlimited amounts of money to do so. That's the thing that should really concern us. So the Australian paper, that's what it's called, the Australian, the Weekend Australian, said, I think there's truth in the narrative that the National Security Council staff, the president, the White House, the chief of staff, those people were in the dark, that he was switching back on the research as of December 2017. But again, there's nobody watching what's going on. You have a responsibility to do that. You have a responsibility to replace people and put your people in there. Now, Fauci hasn't been replaced, since 1985, I think it was, when he went in there. Accident risks with newly created potential pandemic pathogens raise grave new concerns, said the Cambridge Working Group of 200 researchers with a public warning in 2014. And again, this is when they, enacted the moratorium. There was a lot of pushback against it, as I pointed out, and these same people got very upset about the fact that even after they blew the whistle on this, the group of 200 researchers, the Cambridge Working Group, and their public warning, and what was going on with the press finding out that, what was going on with Congress, they said, all right, stop it. Fauci and Collins continued it. And so then when they even had the audacity to release the findings from UNC Chapel Hill a year later, and people called them on that. And he finally said, I decided I would do it, right? Whatever I want to do. Accident risk with newly created potential pandemic pathogens raise grave new concerns. Laboratory creation of highly transmissible novel strains of dangerous viruses, especially but not limited to influenza, poses substantially increased risk. That's exactly what they're talking about. And this is back in 2014. Again, it's not just the NIH documents describing, creating new novel viruses, making them transmissible to humans, increasing their transmissibility. That's all defined. Everybody understands that's gain of function. Fauci is lying to your face again, just as Kerry Mullis said. They went on to say, an accidental infection in such a setting could trigger outbreaks that would be difficult or impossible to control. Historically, new strains of influenza, once they establish transmission to the human population, have infected a quarter or more of the world's population within 2 years. And Steven Salzberg of Johns Hopkins School of Medicine in 2015 said the benefits of gain-of-function research were, quote, minimal at best, unquote. They could, quote, far more safely be obtained through other avenues of research. And he said, I'm very concerned that continuing gain-of-function research on influenza viruses, more recently on the viruses, presents extremely serious risk to the public health. Look, we understand. Ivermectin, very effective. Whatever's going around, people are getting sick when they're not treated properly by the financially incentivized hospital systems who are getting paid absurd amounts of money by the Trump executive order. You diagnose somebody clinically with COVID, $13,000. You put them on an invasive ventilator, you get $39,000. Right there, you got $52,000, and the ventilator only cost you $50,000. But now you can charge every day, and everything that you do in the hospital, you can add a 20 to 25% surcharge because it's COVID. So you understand they only want to treat COVID patients, right? And they want everybody to be diagnosed as COVID. And it even goes to the extent when they claim when somebody dies, they clinically diagnose that as well. They don't do an autopsy. They don't do a determination. But they define that as COVID because that even, and the family in most cases will go along with it because they can get a government subsidy on the burial costs. The whole thing and subsidized by Trump and his administration. And so there is something going around, but it is easily treated by a very inexpensive drug that's been around forever. And that's the other part of Fauci. that's happening here. And so two things I don't want to have come out of this. I don't want this to be focused exclusively on Wuhan or even exclusively on Fauci. This is a much bigger problem. Yes, he is the head of the Institute, and he needs to be brought to heel, because if he isn't, it's going to get much, much worse. And so Fauci and Collins need to be made to answer to this. They're not even talking about Collins. But they need to be made to answer to this. And I know that Rand Paul is focusing on Fauci because he is the public face of all this. He is the person who's being worshipped by the Democrats, by mainstream media. And so that emperor has to have his naked lies exposed. But we also need to understand that we don't want to panic people over how dangerous this thing is, because it isn't a dangerous pandemic. It's not a pandemic, and it's not dangerous. You can easily handle it with ivermectin. A lot of people had it, didn't even know they had it. It's the medical malpractice that's been incentivized that's dangerous. And so we need to make sure that we keep focused on what the real issue is. Fauci is a focus, and it's right to focus on him, but do not make this simply about Wuhan, and do not bring this up to scare everybody about it. I said back in December, as soon as they were starting to talk about this, I think I was even the first one at InfoWars to point out the connection to Wuhan and the biosafety level 4 lab there, because that was something that I was very much focused on going back to 2013, 2014. But I also did not like the overemphasis on this weaponized thing, scaring everybody to death, pushing the pandemic. I broke with InfoWars on that. I said, regardless of what this is, even if this is bioengineered and deliberately released, and it is something that is really bad, the worst thing we could do is to lock everything down and put masks on, as Mike Adams was demanding. The worst response to all this stuff. And so right now, the worst response would be panic. The worst response would be to focus solely on Wuhan. So, you know, when we look at what is happening with this, we had yesterday evening, you had Rand Paul go on with Sean Hannity, and he had this to say about what happens next.
You kicked off your questioning of Dr. Fauci, emphasizing federal law makes lying to Congress a felony punishable by up to 5 years in prison. Is it your belief, based on the evidence, Senator, that he lied before Congress and broke the law?
Yes, and I will be sending a letter to the Department of Justice asking for a criminal referral because he has lied to Congress.
All right. He's going to send a referral to the Department of Justice because criminal charges need to be brought. And I hope they are. You know, it was interesting to me, and I've mentioned it many times, the fact that you had James Clapper lie to the country, lie to Ron Wyden's face, saying we're not looking at Americans. We're not breaking the FISA Act, you know. So, we're not doing any of that stuff. Well, not intentionally, Senator, as he rubs his face. Like I said, he's the world's worst poker player. He's even worse than Fauci. But James Clapper never had anybody bring any charges against him for committing perjury. And we knew that he'd committed perjury within 2 months because the Snowden documents that came out showed everything he was saying was a lie. And you had Michael Hayden, who has headed both the CIA and the NSA at different times, coming out and in a speech, I covered that extensively, a speech that he gave at Washington and Lee University. And he had a big eyeball behind somebody, put a poster up talking about, I guess, he was there to promote careers working for these spooks or whatever. So there's a big eyeball over his shoulder. Not the best graphics, perhaps, for people, but it was a kind of an obscure thing. And what he was saying, he was furious. He said, I blame Ron Wyden for that. He and all the other senators and all the other senators' staff knew that we were doing that, and he put him on the spot and made him lie. It's like, okay. And they let the statute of limitations expire over 5 years. You never had any Republicans call him out on it. Why? Because Republicans want this. The Republicans want geospatial intelligence spying on everybody. And getting back to this, to recap, he defines it, as you heard him say, viruses, said Rand Paul, that in nature only infect animals were manipulated in the Wuhan lab to the gain of function of infecting humans. This research fits the definition of research that the NIH said was subject to a pause in 2014 to 2017. A pause in the funding of gain-of-function research. You defined it as this. You and Francis Collins, and of course, they would include Fauci because all this gain-of-function and viruses, that falls under Fauci. Fauci is under Collins and the NIH, but all of the stuff about transmissible diseases and everything, that is all under Fauci's bureaucracy. He also cited Dr. Richard Ebright, a molecular biologist from Rutgers, who described the research as matching the definition of gain-of-function research done entirely in Wuhan. Fauci says, that's molecularly impossible. Well, you should tell that to Dr. Richard Ebright at Rutgers, who was talking about the fact that it is molecularly possible. So as we look at all of this, and at the same time, you've got masks elevating, and it is Fauci who is pushing this mask. It is Fauci who's really pushing the American Academy of Pediatrics, demanding that all children over the age of 2 years old wear face masks at schools, at nurseries, everywhere. I mean, this is just horrific, in my opinion, especially now. We know now, even by the own CDC's own data, and they said, yeah, we don't need to have masks. And they've also shown, even with the manipulated data, you can't make a case that kids have any risk at all. Yesterday, I reported on a Johns Hopkins scientist who said, our study, we looked at 48,000 kids, and we said there's not a single one. You know, that they had about 200 or 300 kids that had died, but they said they all had other comorbidities. Didn't find a single person, a single kid that didn't have something like leukemia that they were struggling with that died. They said, did they die with COVID or from COVID? And they said it was only 300 kids out of 48,000. They said that's zero statistically. Even if those kids died from COVID, it's zero, statistically zero. And yet you have the American Academy of Pediatrics overruling the CDC, ignoring the numbers. Why? Because Fauci wants it. That's right. The AAP is echoing Fauci, the American Association of Pediatrics, who last week called for all children older than two to be forced to wear masks. So Fauci says, well, I think all the kids ought to wear masks. The next week, you have the Pediatric Society echo him. Why? Because it's a big bureaucracy. And all these people want to say what the man in charge says. That's why it's important, very important for Rand Paul to attack Fauci. And then after Fauci says it, you know, the pediatrics people echo him. And then Fauci echoes the pediatric people to say, yeah, see, it's science. I'm just repeating what they're saying. Now, the CDC says something completely different. But Fauci says, well, it's the reasonable thing to do to mask everybody over the age of two, right? No. They are echoing what he had to say. You got a UK government advisor on the same time saying about masks. He says they're nothing more than comfort blankets. Do you remember Eric Peters putting out the picture of a Peanuts Linus who always had the security blanket? And he said these Faucis that people are wearing on their faces are nothing more than a security blanket. Well, that is now being said by Dr. Colin Axon. He is an advisor for SAGE. This is an scientific advisory group in the UK. They call themselves SAGES. Yeah, no pride in that, right? anyway, the SAGE advisor, Dr. Colin Axon, told the London Telegraph that medics have given people a cartoonish view, that's his term, of how microscopic viruses travel through the air, and the masks have gaps in them that are up to 5,000 times bigger than the COVID particles. Now, I pointed this out last year, and I had all these trolls on social media vilifying, you don't understand. Hey, this isn't about it. I said, you don't understand. You know, the analogy, the good analogy that was made by one individual was, this is like using a chain link fence to keep out mosquitoes. The analogy used by Dr. Colin Axon, he says, a small size is not easily understood. But an imperfect analogy would be to imagine marbles fired at a builder's scaffolding. Some of them might hit a pole and rebound, but obviously most of them are just going to fly right through. He uses even a bigger gap than a mosquito and a chain link fence. He has some marbles and scaffolding, which is very few pieces that are there. He said, once a particle is not on a biological surface, it is no longer a biomedical issue. It's simply about physics. He said, the public has only a partial view of the story if information only comes from one source. That's the other part of the problem. He said, medics have some of the answers, but not the whole truth, right? And this is what we talked about. Now, when we would talk about that, they would respond and say, it's about the spit particles. You're stopping the spit particles, and the spit particles are what's keeping it out there. And, of course, I debunked that as well. Here's what Dr. Colin Axon, sage advisor, says. He says, well, the mask debate is simply about the journey of a particle. He said, masks can catch droplets and spit them from a cough, but what is important is that this SARS-CoV-2 is predominantly distributed by tiny aerosols. Let me repeat that. Predominantly distributed by tiny aerosols, not by the spit particles. Now, the problem with the spit particles is, as research that I found back in 2002 in Australia, they said at the time when they were talking about whether or not doctors and nurses should use masks, they said, well, it's pretty useless. What we found is that even with a surgical mask, an N95, after about 20 minutes, the mask gets so saturated with droplets and spitum that it basically, when the air pressure hits it, it's pushing those droplets out again. And oh, by the way, they become smaller and more atomized, and they travel further, and they stay airborne longer. And then, of course, you had last August, you had research done by Duke University that I reported at the time, saying that the masks were actually accelerating the aerosol particles that were escaping around all the different surfaces that were not adhering closely to your face. You're not gluing it to your face. So there's a big air gap there relative to the particles. And because you're blocking most of the air in the front, it's getting pushed out around the back and in front of your ears and the top around your nose and that type of thing. And those particles are, again, accelerated because they're being pushed through a smaller opening than you normally would if you were talking. So they're being accelerated out that way, which means they're going to stay airborne longer, travel farther. There's any number of ways that you can analyze this, but, of course, this guy's telling people the truth. He says this is simply particle physics when we're looking at this. He said, aerosol particles escape the masks. They render the masks ineffective. But the public were demanding that something be done, so we gave them masks. It's just a comfort blanket. But now it's entrenched. And now we're entrenching bad behavior. It's the same thing that Fauci said when he was momentarily telling the truth in February 2020. He said that the store-bought face mask, quote, is not really effective in keeping out the virus, which is small enough to pass through material. Then he said, well, we were just lying to you because we didn't have enough N95 masks. And then what did he do? He mandated bandanas and nonsense like that. Not N95 masks are not mandated. You know, so you've got to wear your cloth mask, which, of course, is totally ineffective, even worse than the N95 stuff. He goes on to point out that in Denmark, you had 6,000 participants found there was no statistical significance between those who wore masks and those who did not when it came to being infected by COVID. They said 1.8% of those wearing masks caught COVID compared to 2.1% of the control group. So statistically, it was insignificant. It was within the margin of error of their test. And let me repeat, the same number of people coming down, being diagnosed with a PCR test, same number of people catching COVID, about 2%, whether they wore the mask or they didn't wear the mask. The mask is irrelevant, but here's another point. So is the pandemic narrative. If only 2% of the people tested positive, that doesn't even mean that they're sick. And they're not. It's a case-demic. And so this is not a pandemic. It's not serious. It's not an epidemic. It's not worldwide. 2% of the people wearing masks or not wearing masks. So we saw a couple of days ago on the Drudge Report, your bed could be germ-filled Petri dish, warns a microbiologist. Well, then what about the mask? You know, you sleep in the bed 8 hours a day. What about that mask that you wear on your face all day? You know, people sleep in a bed, they don't wake up with acne all over their behind, typically, I guess. I don't know how dirty your bed is, but people are getting acne from the masks and a bunch of other stuff. It is a Petri dish. All kinds of stuff grows on it. So they're freaking people out about the beds, but then they're in the same Drudge report. He is pushing all of the mask stuff when he's got this there about how dirty your beds are. 500 million skin cells each night while you're sleeping. See, the thing is, God gave us an immune system, and it's pretty amazing that it can handle all this stuff. We freak everybody out with how many viruses there are everywhere, all the skin cells that you find everywhere, and yet somehow we survive for a period of time. Everybody's going to die, but somehow we survive and manage. Why? Because we have that immune system, and that's the whole purpose of these vaccines, theoretically, is to train your immune system. But if your immune system can do it on its own, it's already trained itself. If it's encountered a disease and taken care of it, it's trained. End of story. And so when we talk about putting masks on kids, again, remember, 5 times more children committed suicide than died from the COVID lockdown just in the UK. 5 times more children and young people committed suicide than died from the so-called pandemic. The lockdowns, conclude the study, are more detrimental to children's health than the virus itself. And this is a study done by several different universities. You had University College London, University of York, University of Liverpool, University of Bristol. They said, in their conclusion, the risk of removal of children and young people from their normal activities across education and social events may prove to be a greater risk than the SARS virus itself. Let me ask you, what is the we're talking about a psychological damage of locking down kids, keeping them isolated from each other, scaring them to death. What is the purpose? What do you think is going to be the end result? I'll just say it that way. We'll not judge the purpose of Fauci and putting masks on kids. But you do think that even if you allow them to go to school, if you keep them so fearful of this virus, fearful of other humans, don't come near me, right? Don't come near me. Stay your distance. You people, get apart. You're all going to die. You tell that to little kids? You think that's not going to have a big psychological effect on them? And you put them in a mask all day? You think that's not going to be a filthy biological effect on them? The psychological and physical abuse represented by these masks put on two-year-olds. The only thing that's worse than that is exposing them to the dangers and the risks of a vaccine for which they have zero risk of dying from. This is not, even by the inflated numbers of the CDC, an emergency for young people. So the emergency authorization by the FDA does not apply. There is no emergency for these people. They admit it themselves. They pretend that there's an emergency for people that are elderly. They never even pretended that there is an emergency for young people. So there isn't even a pretense that can be made for them to take the non-zero risk of these vaccines. The new study showed that the risks of severe illness or death are extremely low in children and young people from this so-called virus. Our new findings are important as they will inform shielding guidance for young people, as well as decisions about the vaccination of teenagers and children, not just in the UK, but internationally. But it doesn't matter. The science doesn't matter. When we come back, we're going to talk about testing, because that really is what this is ultimately going to boil down to. That is going to be how they keep us locked down and in jail. It's going to be the testing. And you've got Soros and Gates now buying a COVID testing company out of the UK. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Interested in a curated list of the finest classical music? Find it now at APSradio.com.
All right, and welcome to all of our APS Radio listeners, as well as Aftermath.fm listeners, and the people who are watching live on DLive and Trovo. Just remind you, you can find all the links at The David Knight Show, where you can find the program after the fact when we put it up on the podcast, audio podcast. We put the full show up on four different video channels, and we put excerpts by topics up on those channels as well. And you'll also find out how you can support the program here and keep it going. It's not behind a paywall. It's just contributions on a voluntary basis. You'll also see the gas gauge there, which we did not update today, so we'll be updating that later today. Before we get back to the testing issue here and what Soros and Gates are up to, I wanted to just read a couple of letters that we got from listeners. This one from somebody who wishes to remain anonymous says, April 20th, 20% of the cases that I abstract for data for local heart attack registry were post-COVID inoculation. May, it grew to 20%, with a whopping 76% for June. You hear that? So I started to keep records for my own benefit to justify my decision to not receive the inoculation. Real-time information helps me to stand on the truth. They want to explain these statistics away by saying, well, that's because we have so many people who are taking the vaccine. Well, you know, that's not true because we have seen the vaccine uptake drop a bit. And there is a lag on these heart attack issues as well. So I think that's what we're seeing. Part of that is on the CDC numbers, as we've seen the last 2 weeks on the VAERS system, you have seen each of the last 2 weeks, you've seen it jump by 2,000 deaths. We're just talking about the deaths. And so it went from 7,000 to 9,000. The next week it went from 9,000 to 11,000. That is massive. They did not get that many deaths at the very beginning of it. So we're going to talk about some of the effects of the Trump shots coming up, as well as mandates that are being rolled out everywhere. But again, I said before, and I believe it, because of the way that they have played with the statistics for COVID from the very beginning, ignoring comorbidities when they were trying to create a COVID pandemic, but now focusing heavily on comorbidities when they want to distract you away from the adverse effects of the Trump shots. You notice how that works? Comorbidities were never talked about before. Oh, no. If you tested positive, magnifying the viral debris by a trillion times with a PCR test cycle threshold of 40. If you had any viral debris, you died from that COVID test. And yet, when you have the vaccine and you die within 3 days, that's just a coincidence, because these people had other comorbidities. And that's why with a heart attack, they're saying that this is young people. They have to admit that it's young people. They can't blame it on comorbidities. But for the vast majority of the public, I don't think this is simply a young person problem at all. I think they're just explaining it away as coincidence theorists on the other ones. So getting back to, well, I'll read one more here. This is from a person who is a former Marine. He gives me his name, but I'm not going to read it. He didn't say that it was okay. But he gives me his identification. He says, I've been following you in the shadows since mid-2020. I've been sharing your information with family and friends. My friend, who is a Vietnam vet, received this correspondence from the VA and shared it with me. I feel compelled to share this information with you as I believe it to contain falsehoods that can endanger fellow humans who could easily fall for this misinformation. Basically, this is coming out in late June, coming out from the VA to people. And essentially, it's a PR piece for Big Pharma, or the Trump shots, if you will. Vaccination is essential for our return to normalcy. We hope that you will choose to be vaccinated to protect yourself, your family, and friends, so forth and so on. It's likely that you will become severely ill, require hospitalization, or become at risk of dying. In fact, a recent Cleveland Clinic study showed that over 99% of those hospitalized due to COVID were not fully vaccinated. This is misinformation. This is an outright lie. For your convenience, enclosed is a brochure that provides more information about the vaccine. This, in and of itself, if the legal immunity from these people, if the fact that they rush this thing through without any testing, if those aren't enough red flags, the fact that they are so hell-bent on getting everybody vaccinated, that ought to be a real big red flag for you. Everything from donuts to lotteries, and from pressure coming from the VA or veterans. Who is eligible for the vaccine at the VA? Where can I get the vaccine? Why should I get the vaccine as soon as it's available to me? This is a big, big push, and as I pointed out last year, there was $250 million given to the Ad Council. You know, the people used to do the commercials about Smokey the Bear. This is your brain on drugs, just say no, all that type of stuff. That is just a total waste of money. But they included a lot of money for this. They're giving a lot of money to Gulag to put stuff up on YouTube and other things. And it's a massive propaganda campaign. They had war-gamed this with the psychologists at Yale. They published the results on the NIH. They actually did control group studies. So they had people that were exposed to the propaganda, people who were not exposed specifically to the propaganda. And like I said, how do you have a control group that's not exposed to propaganda? Because if they turn on the television, that's what they're getting is propaganda from Fauci and the other people. And that was last year. So it's kind of hard to have a control group that isn't exposed to around-the-clock propaganda, but they weren't exposed to the focused propaganda that is now being put out by the government and by the media. And they came up with all of the different ways that they could push this, and I did an article on it back in August of last year, referred to it a couple of different times. Peer pressure, pressure from authority, proclaiming that this is science and you're an idiot or you're selfish if you don't do it. All of these different things. We see them all rolling out now. They war game this. This is the only science, as I've said many times, behind all this is behavioral science. It is a massive psyop to get everybody vaccinated. Run the other way. Why are Soros and Gates buying a UK COVID testing company? Well, because this is going to be forever. And you remember when I had Rabbi David Smith come on? I had him come on because the Orthodox Jewish community that he's a part of in New York has been fighting these vaccine mandates for quite some time. They've been at the very forefront of this. They've had the New York City people coming after them. Back in 2019, they were saying, you're going to have it. Even in your private schools, we're going to mandate that you're going to take these MMR vaccines. They said, no, we don't want to do it. They had medical, they had ethical issues. They did not want to do it. And so they fought against that. And that's why they had the press asking Donald Trump, well, what about what's going on here with these measles shots? And then he says, oh, they got to get the shots. They got to get the shots. So he's been fighting this from the very beginning. And what he said last time I had him on, he said, remember, the testing thing is the key. The test is going to be how they lock you down. They can use the test to tell you that even if you're not sick, even if you have no symptoms whatsoever, we've got this test, and the test says that you've got to go to indefinite detention. And we're not going to let you out until another test says that you don't have it. So the test becomes a way that they can, even without people being sick, they can lock you up, they can keep you locked up. This is like the indefinite detention by the military. You don't think the military is going to be involved in this? You don't think it's going to be FEMA camps? You don't think this has anything to do with the NDAA and the indefinite detention by the military without due process? Okay. Well, I'm just a conspiracy theorist, but I've seen these things happening for a long time. I know what these people want. And so you've got a consortium of investors led by the Soros Economic Development Fund and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. I wonder when they're going to change that name. are buying UK-based COVID testing company MoLogic. That's what we need. We need MoLogic here because we don't have enough logic. We need Mo. They've got a 10-minute coronavirus test. And Forbes cited a Monday press release saying the buyout was done to increase access to affordable, state-of-the-art medical technology via a rapid lateral flow test. And why are they doing this? Well, first of all, there's money. All right, they want to say that this is a philanthropic move because in their press release, they talk about all these poor people in the developing countries who don't have access to tests. So we're going to do something about that. So we're going to buy this. Well, they may give it away to some of the people in the third world countries so they can lock them down. But let me tell you, they're going to charge people in first world countries an arm and a leg. And as Macron was rolling out his vaccine mandates, he said, you know, we're going to do this in stages. At first, we'll provide the tests for you. So you can either have a test like every 24 hours or whatever. And if you're negative, we'll let you do something, you know, for that day. And then you get another test the next day. Do you remember last March as this stuff was rolling out? I had someone give me the green wristband that had a date on it. They said, yeah, you'll have a daily test. And if you pass this, then we will let you travel. And, of course, he wasn't in the wristband business. He was in the computer business. And so that's what we're looking at here, daily tests to be allowed to live your life. Or you can get the Trump shot. You choose. It's your choice, like Biden says. You know, you can have nothing in your life. You can be locked down forever. You can wear a mask forever. And you can be tested every day with these invasive tests. Or if you want to, you can just go ahead and get the jab. You know, take your chances. You might get lucky. Maybe you won't have any long-term problems at all. And so it's not only are they demanding that you get these tests, making the interval shorter, not 48 hours, but 24 hours, but then they're going to start charging you for it. And let me tell you, Soros and Gates are going to be charging for it in France and the UK and in Canada and the US and Australia and all these other places. They may give some of these away to third world countries, present themselves as philanthropists, but they're going to make a killing off of this. So first of all, there's a money aspect of it. And people in the third world are not saying, you know, our life, what's missing out of our life are these tests. Just as they were not saying, you know what's missing out of our life? A global ID. Yeah, that's the way that it was presented by Gates. You know, it's just, we need to make sure that everybody has a global ID because it's just not fair. You know, these poor people in these countries, they don't have a global ID. And so it becomes hard for them if they don't get the Aadhaar system in India, numbering everybody. They're not going to be able to get the free stuff from the government. So that's the carrot and stick. We'll give you free stuff, but you got to take our number. Our number. this company was founded in 2003 with some money from Gates. They worked with the Gates in the past. The Center for Advanced Rapid Diagnostics, they call it CARD. CARD. Why would they call it? Is it because it's like an ID card or something? Yeah, that's exactly how they envision these testings. It's a way to make sure you got a global ID. They called it CARD back in 2016. They got backing from the Gates Foundation. In 2015, you had a Jeffrey Epstein-funded think tank held a conference about testing for pandemics and stuff. The International Peace Institute hosted a Preparing for Pandemics conference in Geneva. They had senior officials from the Gates Foundation, from Soros' Open Society, from the WHO, the CDC, all the usual suspects that are there. They also mentioned Red Cross and the Pasteur Institute. Now, the Pasteur Institute just came out on the same day, as I reported yesterday, same day that Macron started released his schedule to boil the frogs gradually into vaccine mandates. On that very same day, the Pasteur Institute came out and said, ivermectin, it really does work, and here's how it works. I mean, they didn't just do an epidemiological study. They explained the mechanism for why it worked. But, you know, we're not going to pay any attention to that. Nobody talks about that. In terms of the arguments being made for why you have to get vaccinated, as I said yesterday, I read the appalling and irritating article from CNN based on outright lies from people like Paul Offit. You know, Paul Offit, who has always been a big pharmaceutical vaccine cheerleader, always. At the beginning of this, he was very reluctant. He said, you know, we're rushing into this without doing the proper testing, and that could really backfire on us. I don't want to have a situation where people are so fed up with these Trump shots. He didn't call them Trump shots. That's my term. But he didn't want to have a situation where people were so fed up with these Trump shots that were raced at warp speed without any testing. If that blew up and we started having, well, I don't know, 11,000 people die in 7 months, or maybe 45,000 who have died in, within 3 days of getting the vaccine. If we start having that kind of information happening out there, people might push back against vaccines in general. I don't want that to happen. It could actually backfire on us. And so at the beginning of this, Del Bigtree was saying, you know, I have all these arguments and debates with Paul Offit, and he's actually on our side with this. He's worried about this warp speed acceleration of the testing and approval for emergency use. But now, I guess he's seen that the media and Fauci can get away with lying to everybody, and they can cover all this stuff up, and he's not really worrying about the pushback. It doesn't matter how many tens of thousands of people die from this stuff. They can just ignore it and pretend it doesn't exist and flush it down the memory hole. And so, hey, let's cheer the vaccine now. And that's exactly what Paul Offit was doing on CNN. And he was saying things like, well, why, you know, if the vaccine works, he said, here's the objections that people have, and he addressed a lot of them. If the vaccine works, then why do I need to get it? You're covered. Oh, no. You have to get the vaccine because the vaccine is to protect the community at large, and the vaccine is going to keep you from spreading this to other people. All right, well, let's hold that thought for a second. The vaccine keeps you from being a spreader and getting this out to other people. So just take a look at what's going on with the little tempest in the teapot of Washington, D.C. You got these Texas Democrats, and I love the term fleabaggers. They spell it F-L-E-E. The fleabaggers ran away because they didn't want to have voter ID. Isn't that interesting? The people who want to have vaccine passports, the people who support Bill Gates and the idea of a global ID, they don't want to have any ID to vote, however. So they run away to Washington. They were all vaccinated, double, and you know, time had passed. So they'd done all of their stuff, they say. Three of them came down, and now we're seeing the case count is rising, six or seven people. We don't know because they're admitting in the White House that they're not going to tell you about these people who are testing positive. So it's not just the three people, but they went around and they, you know, met all the Democrats and met Kamala Harris. They took her to, you know, the hospital, have a check on her. Is she okay? Is she coming to testing positive with this? But they went around and they got a lot of people infected, but Pelosi's aide, a White House official, people who welcomed them, they tested positive. And others, and Psaki admits, press secretary for Biden, admits that there have been people that they have tested at the White House, and they're not going to tell you about it. But let's understand that the Pelosi aide, the White House official who welcomed them, who tested positive, these three people who were part of the group, and I think now, I don't know if the six counts, if that's all people within this Texas Democrat group, or if that's including some of these ancillary people that they met. Everybody that we're talking about here has been vaccinated twice. Now, Paul Offit told you that you got to get vaccinated because, yeah, they pretty much work, but they're not 100%. Nothing is ever 100%. Well, you know, we had Fauci tell us it was 100%, didn't he? Basically, it's 100% effective. Yeah, sure. And it's totally safe, too. And it ain't gain of function. I didn't do this. I didn't do it. Honestly, I didn't do it. We haven't had that quality of testimony since Michael Corleone was called before the Senate to testify. The Corleone family, it's not the mafia. We are not organized crime. We're just, we sell olive oil or something, you know? So that snake salesman, Fauci, He's done one better than Michael Corleone. But Paul Offit was telling you that, it's pretty much going to protect you, but we all have to get this because if we're double vaccinated, we're not going to pass this along to, remember the little kid that CVS went to, found a kid in Tennessee who's got an immune system deficiency, and the mother was just furious that in Tennessee that had done exactly what Paul Offit was worried about, said, oh yeah, you're going to push these vaccines, and you're going to push the vaccines to kids in the schools without parental consent. All right, that's it. We're done. No more of this. And oh, by the way, we don't want you pushing these other vaccines, the ones that Paul Offit's been pushing for years. We don't want you pushing those out there either, okay? Just stop it. This is the kind of blowback Offit was concerned about, and it is justified. And so CBS, in order to try to make the case for it, they find a kid who's got some kind of an immune disease condition, saying, well, I'm scared to death because all the kids are not going to be vaccinated. Well, take a look, lady, at what happened with, if your kid's got an immune system, that you might want to keep them out of school because it's not the only disease that the kid could catch. Not only that, but having everybody vaccinated, like all of these Texas Democrats and all these Washington Democrats, multiple vaccines, and they're passing it to each other. They're not passing it to unvaccinated people. They're passing it from one vaccinated person to another vaccinated person, double vaccinated in every case. Paul Offit, as I said yesterday, is a bold-faced liar, as much of a liar as Fauci is, as much of a liar as CNN is. But they don't count. Because, you know, this is what the White House is doing. We're not going to give you the total for the people that have tested positive because they're vaccinated. So we're not going to count the vaccinated. Now, if you are unvaccinated, they will do a PCR test. They actually even use a higher cycle threshold for the unvaccinated than they use for the people who have been vaccinated. They take the magnification down, as I pointed out before, by a factor of 5,000. And they will give you different standards of tests. And even if you test positive as a vaccinated person, they will not count, and you're sick. You're sick and you test positive. They still won't count it as a case. You've got to be in the hospital or dead before they'll count you as a case if you're vaccinated. Now, on the other hand, if you are unvaccinated, and even if you're not sick, and even if they magnify the test by a factor of 5,000 more than they would for a vaccinated person, they will call you diseased. And they will take all these measures. But they will hide these numbers even when they go through all these machinations to try to set up a double standard. Even then, they will hide the numbers from people. The bigger picture, some of them are saying it's the Delta variant. Let me tell you what the variant is. The protein spike, that's the variant. They want to tell you, the whole narrative about this Delta variant is the fact that, well, it's not exactly the same as the original COVID that we designed this for. Well, they also want to tell you that the protein spike is not exactly the same as the COVID either. It's close, but it's not similar. Well, all these variants, the Delta variant and all these other variants, they're close, but they're not exactly the same. So is the Delta variant the protein spike? Is the protein spike an engineered variant of this thing? Or is it the pandemic itself? And so the response to all this from the attending physician of the Capitol, this is the guy, and I don't know if he's the one who was there for the longest time, but you remember a few years ago, we had somebody who worked in the Capitol Hill Pharmacy, which is where the attending physicians will write the prescriptions for these individuals. And they said, there are some of these people who are on some really, really heavy drugs, and some of them have to do with mental issues. He said, this is pretty scary, the stuff that I see coming across here, but they keep it very, very quiet. And that was kind of buried in that report. It's kind of let's look at how Washington works. There's this little thing that's been here since the 1800s, the Capitol Hill Pharmacy. And in about a 20-page report, it was on like page 18, the guy says, yeah, some of these people, I don't even know how they find their way to work. They got so many, mental issues that are involved here and other things that are happening. So Dr. Brian P. Monahan, the attending physician of the Capitol, said several fully vaccinated congressional aides have tested positive for COVID. So he says the staff should consider wearing masks. This just keeps going in a circle, doesn't it? They said, they admitted, as Psaki said, you know, a lot of these we haven't tested. We haven't reported, even though they test positive. Here's the real pandemic. It's the panic. And they're calling it a ping-demic in the UK. Now, in the UK, they had their Freedom Day on the 19th, 2 days ago. Except that Bojo used that as an opportunity to say that there are vaccine mandates coming for anybody who wants to go into public spaces. So here's your temporary freedom. I've said this all along. If we don't take our freedom back from them, then it's going to keep getting worse. And so we've had riots and protests in London. And on the 19th, people were saying, oh, look at this. You give them exactly what they want, and they're still out there protesting. Well, you didn't give them what they wanted. And they knew that they weren't getting that, because on that very day, he comes out and says, you're going to have a vaccine in order to get into pubs and other places like that, public events. I'll tell you what he's saying about this. But the thing that's happening right now, they're still being locked down, not by his explicit order, but by an application, an app that you voluntarily download onto your phone. And they've had 26 million people download this, and that's out of a population of 68 million people in the UK. So that's about 38% of the people have downloaded, voluntarily downloaded this app. And this app is being used to enslave them. It is a contact tracing app. It uses geospatial intelligence, and it tells you you may have been in contact with somebody because it's constantly watching where you're going. And if it sees and it compares your history to other people that have been there, is this not creepy? Is this something that we want to live with? Because this is 38% of the people would voluntarily download this and then live under this tyranny. Because if it matches you up with somebody who tests positive and then it looks at your history, it gives you a ping on your app, and now you have to go into quarantine. And so they're calling it a ping-demic. This little app has sent 500,000 exposure notifications in just 1 week, saying you may have been exposed to the coronavirus and you should stay home for up to 10 days. And this is locking the country down, as some of the people who were part of the supply lines have said, this is actually more damaging to us than the previous lockdown, where they would say, this is essential, that's not essential. This is taking people out of essential supply lines for food and sidelining them simply because of this app. This is the tyranny. Listen to some of the things that are happening. The Guardian newspaper reported that garbage collections have been disrupted because of staff shortages. You have garbage piling up on the street. Let me tell you, that's a much bigger health issue than this COVID nonsense. More than 800,000 students, 1 in 9, that's 11%, were out last week for virus-related reasons. Anxiety about getting the ping goes beyond employers and their workers. See, they download this app voluntarily, and then they're sitting there, I've been pinged, now I've got to, you know, take time off of work or whatever, which I imagine a lot of them are kind of happy to get that excuse to not have to go into work. But they said more than 54% of Britons said that they were concerned that they wouldn't be able to take a vacation abroad if they were instructed to stay at home. And the hospitality sector, which is already struggling with vacancies, 1 out of 5 workers, that's 20%, are reportedly quarantining or isolating. There were scenes of chaos this week at Heathrow Airport. Heathrow Airport is always kind of a scene of chaos. I can imagine if they call it, you know, when it's normally operating. Anyway, scenes of chaos at Heathrow as long queues of passengers overwhelmed the sparser than usual security staff. You have one person saying, I deleted the app this morning, but after Monday, I will still wear my mask on buses and in supermarkets. See, it's something that they can do. It is a security blankie. They can put the Fauci over their face and feel like they're doing something. Maybe we could just start issuing people shoes with pointy toes that stick out 3 feet and you have a bell on the end of them. Wouldn't that be better? You know, you got your social distancing right there. And if you want 6 feet, you know, you just put the two shoes together and you can kind of estimate that distance. The simple change from test and trace to test and release. They're saying, you know, we got to get these new tests out, right? I just said it's about the tests. It's all going to be about the tests. Right now, this app is taking the place of the test. It's assuming that if somebody tested positive in proximity, they were in proximity to you in the recent geolocation history, that you are likely a problem. So go into timeout. And so what they're saying is, well, we need to have these new, faster tests. Let's see, who just bought those tests? Soros and Gates. But it was for the developing countries. They just wanted to help them. No, no, no. They're going to capitalize on this because they're saying, now that we've locked people down psychologically with this Pingdemic app, we can have a situation where we go from test and trace to test to release. And instead of having people stay home for 10 days, just assuming that they are sick, even though they don't have any symptoms because the app flagged them, we could change that into 1 or 2 days. Or you could change it into just a few minutes if you use the new Gates-Soros test and make them even richer. The question is, when this person says that, if we just go from test and trace and lock them down for 10 days to, okay, this pings, so now go down and get your test. You wait 1 or 2 days to get your result. And then we let them go back. They know that the people are not sick. They know that these are false identifications. So they're saying, well, instead of having a 10-day absence, we could have them only 1 or 2 days because we know most of these things are false positives. A professor of medicine at the University of East Anglia said that people who are fully vaccinated shouldn't have to quarantine unless they develop symptoms. We have to come out of this at some time, he said. One person who is working with supply lines, delivering food, he says, it's impossible to try to run the business with this kind of unpredictability. It's not how our industry operates. It's happening in the NHS and public transport and food manufacturing and delivery drivers. We cannot get to normal or normal-ish if 500,000 people are off of work. See, this is worse, as they're saying, this is worse than it was before because it's kind of arbitrary and random. It isn't based on anything at all, just like the previous lockdowns and so-called pandemics were not based on anything real. But now this is randomly pulling people out of the workforce for 10 days at a time. And they're going to have a problem with food. As they're saying, Freedom Day is being dulled by looming food shortages as the Pingdemic worsens. That's what the press there started calling it, the Pingdemic. No, what it is fear itself. Fear itself. That's why when all this stuff began, you had the executive order that we knew was coming on that Friday the 13th, on that Monday of the 16th. I began by saying, I can't believe the fear and panic that I'm seeing. And it's coming out of the White House. Because compare what Trump did to what FDR did, to what Churchill did, as the countries were actually being attacked. You know, after Pearl Harbor, FDR says, the only thing we got to fear is fear itself. As the Battle of Britain was looming, you had Churchill say, keep calm and carry on. He didn't tell him, all right, Bing, you might have been in contact with somebody, so go hide for 10 days. And then even more importantly, he said, freedom is in peril. Defend it with all your might. That's the one that they don't remember. They keep calm and carry on, they do, but the other one they don't remember. The British press is calling this the Pingdemic. Morris, a chief executive at the UK Major Ports Group, you know, shipping goods, said this Pingdemic is the most significant threat to the port's resilience that we've seen yet. If the current trajectory of absences continues without the government taking any action, and believe me, Bojo isn't going to. There has to be a risk of disruption to important supply chains, including food. Meat processors are saying that 10% of the workforce is being told to self-isolate by the app. This is app tyranny. This is silicon tyranny. This is geospatial intelligence and its application. So, again, as we had the Freedom Day, nightclubs opened their doors or dance floors for the first time in 16 months. They said, if we don't do it now, we've got to ask ourselves, when will we ever do it? Well, you're not going to do it for very long because immediately Boris Johnson came out on Freedom Day as they reopen nightclubs and other public venues and pubs and things like that. He said, I can serve notice now that by the end of September, when all over 18s will have had their chance to be double jabbed, we're planning to make a full vaccination condition of entry to nightclubs and other venues. So you hear what that is? First of all, I've said this is about parole. I said a year ago, they're going to turn this switch on and off as they gradually escalate it. So take two steps forward, one step back, pause for a little bit, then another two or three steps forward, then stop, pause. That's what this is all about. The only reason that he declared a Freedom Day was because they had massive protests on the streets. And immediately he said, all right, July 19th, we'll do it. And then all these people said, he's doing exactly what these people demanded. And look, they're still not happy. They're still out there protesting because they know that this is what it's about. So it was to turn the switch on and off. And it was to say, I'm still in charge. You're on parole. I'm giving this to you. You don't have a right to do anything anymore. Not in the UK, not in the US, nowhere. Right? You have privileges that are given to you by the government. We'll make it a privilege for you to go to a pub. And we're going to now restrict that privilege. In 2 months, we're going to make you have to have a vaccine. Because we're going to leave it out there. And this is why I always said, too. I said, watch for it coming in the fall. Because they're going to say a couple of things will happen. They'll get all the low-information people who will take the jab and be happy because they've been watching CNN and Fox. And then it will slow down. As they start to, you know, first they'll be restricted by their supply, but it'll be unrestricted by people wanting to get it. Then the supply will catch up and exceed demand. Then you'll have a process of vilification and more fear, which is what we're going through right now. And then I said, come the fall, they'll say, we've got enough vaccines. We've given you enough time. You don't want to take it. Now you're going to be forced to take it. And that's exactly what he's saying. Not at that point where they're going to come there and forcefully hold you down and inject you. But we've seen here in Texas, we've seen cops setting up roadblocks for drunk drivers and doing forced blood draws. The first step of this is to present the fake choice that Biden has said, well, you know, you can choose to get vaccinated or you can choose to wear a mask for the rest of your life. It's up to you. It's your choice. It's a free country, right? It's a free country. And that's exactly what he's saying. He said, proof of a negative test will no longer be enough. Macron is saying, we will allow you to take a test for a while, and then what we'll do is we'll make you pay for the test, but then if you're certain industries, we're going to mandate it as to keep your job. And then if we don't have enough people accept it, then we're going to mandate it and force it on everybody. See? As recently as last week, the government asked us to work with them on a voluntary scheme, said a person who is the chief executive of the trade association, UK Hospitality. They said, this is a hammer blow for us. Just as recently as last week, they said, we want you to work with us. We want to do voluntary vaccine passports. All right, we can work with that. Now he comes out and he says, no, it's going to be mandatory. And you've seen these conservative party UK politicians saying over the last year, one day they would be talking to a trade association about how they're going to set up vaccine passports and all the rest of the stuff. And then there would be articles about it, and they come back, we're not going to do a vaccine passport. We're just wargaming this. We're absolutely not going to do it. And they would lie to your face until one day they'd just suddenly stop lying and tell you the truth and say, yeah, that's right, we're doing vaccine passports. Then, but we're not going to mandate it. We're really not going to mandate it until they just stop lying and they say, now we're mandating it. This stuff is as obvious as the lies of Fauci to Congress. And I'm telling you, nothing is going to be done by the Department of Justice under Biden in terms of coming after Fauci. Nothing is going to be done by any of the people in Washington. Just look at how passive they were for the last 494 days. The only way this is going to stop is if we push back on this like the people in the UK did. So if Boris Johnson thinks that he's given people he's released a little bit of the pressure. All right, for 2 months, I'll let you guys go to pubs. But then after that, you're going to be forced to take the vaccine to get into a pub. This is going to blow up in his face. Nadhim Zahawi said Monday in the UK, this is the Conservative Party, that a negative coronavirus test will no longer be sufficient proof that the person is safe. That's right. Keep saying that there's not going to be any vaccine passport until they do it. Boris Johnson, even it's just amazing what he had to say. Listen to this comment. He said 35% of 18 to 30-year-olds, who, by the way, have zero risk from this virus, were unvaccinated. And he said, I would remind everybody that some of life's most important pleasures and opportunities are likely to be increasingly dependent upon vaccination. That is the most reprehensible thing I've seen any politician have the gall to say. He said it to their face. Here, they're a lot more evasive about it. But he just says, let me repeat that. Life's most important pleasures and opportunities will be dependent on vaccination. We're going to make your life hell. This guy is telling everybody, the only person that we got here in America that is that in-your-face authoritarian and totalitarian is Leanna Wen, the former CEO of Planned Parenthood, demanding that we do this. You know, this. In the UK, he's doing it. Now, how is this working out? You have Andrew Lloyd Webber, who was furious about all this lockdown, and he said, well, that's it. He goes, I'm going to be out of business anyway, so I'm going to open up. I've got a new play that I want to open up. I'm paying a lot of money for these theaters that I own, a lot of rent, mortgage, and I'm not making any money, so I'm going to be done one way or the other. So I'm just going to open up. They had planned to open up a new show called Cinderella, and right after midnight, that play turned into a pumpkin when they found one person who was a member of the cast with a cameo role, This is not, they didn't have to stop this show because the person was sick or a key figure in the show. They always have understudies anyway. But, you know, this is a cameo role, one person said, so they were going to open up on Freedom Day. They couldn't. They had a single positive test in everybody that was there, and they shut down the entire play. Said, Freedom Day has turned into Closure Day, he said in a statement. At Cinderella, from the outset, we had employed a rigorous testing system for all the cast and backstage crew before the work began. Well, that was the big mistake, wasn't it? It was the testing, right? It's the testing where they're going to get us. The testing is going to be how they enslave us. The testing is how they are going to turn us, how our evil stepmothers, Boris Johnson, Fauci, and that ilk, the evil stepmothers are going to turn us into a Cinderella slave on an ongoing basis, a continuing basis. There will never be an end to it because you got one cameo staff member test positive. As a precautionary measure, we canceled both shows. While we carried out further tests on everyone backstage, all of them were negative. Any of those who were identified as a close contact of the positive case were given additional PCR tests. Those tests were also negative. This morning, we carried out additional tests on those due to perform tonight, on Monday. Every one of them was negative. You see what's happening here? Test, 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 test. It is the tyranny of the test. The test will be the key to lock you down and to destroy your life, to destroy your business, everything. It's about the test. Nobody was even sick. One cameo role person. Don't tell me they couldn't replace that. One person with a cameo role tested sick, and it wasn't because it tested positive. They were not sick. Despite this, the impossible conditions created by the blunt instrument that is the government's isolation guidance meant that we cannot continue. We have been forced into a devastating decision which will affect the lives and livelihoods of hundreds of people and disappoint the thousands who had booked to see the show. He also went on to say, it's hard to see a route forward under the current rules, but we'll do everything we can to come back. There is no way forward under the current rules, because the current rules that have been imposed as of Freedom Day, you keep using that word, but I do not think you know what it means. The rules that were imposed by Boris Johnson on Freedom Day, this pingdemic that is happening there, is worse than anything they've had before. And it continues to get progressively worse, even as there is no evidence of a pandemic whatsoever. This fear game, we got to turn this thing off because this fear game has just been going on forever. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via or donate via Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.
Man had conquered the air, and people everywhere were all agog about those magnificent men and their flying machines.
Right, and we had Jeff Bezos, another one of these magnificent men in their flying machine, joining the several-mile-high club with Branson. Bezos thanked his employees, as I love the way Breitbart put it, thanked his employees who have to pee in bottles for funding his space travel. Well, you know, yeah, you get to pee in bottles just like a real astronaut. Here's your official Amazon pee bottle. You can, you know, identify with Jeff Bezos because he's the real astronaut out there. He said, seriously, for every Amazon customer out there, every Amazon employee, thank you from the bottom of my heart very much. It's very appreciated. but, you know, again, the peeing in the bottle, that's not an urban legend. They tried to dismiss it. the Amazon public relations team wrote in response to a Democrat, Mark Pocan of Wisconsin. He said, you don't really believe that peeing in bottles thing, do you? If that were true, nobody would work for us. And then 3 days later, they admitted and issued an apology, denial, saying that their workers had to pee in bottles because they just didn't have enough time under the pressure that they were put under. But the journey that he took was actually just a short period of time that he penetrated space. It's about 11 minutes. So it was lightning fast by space flight standards. And then they ejected the top part there, the passenger capsule, and they parachuted down on land. I saw a picture of that, and it looked like something from those magnificent men. I mean, it came down and hit the ground pretty hard and a big thing of dust. They must have some pretty good shock absorbers in there for the passengers. They parachuted down on dry land out in the desert in Texas. And, you know, when we look at this, how does his 11-minute excursion into the edge of space compare? You know, he got a couple miles higher than Branson. So, you know, there's that. They can compete against that. I got higher than you did. How does that compare with the Wright brothers, for example? Well, you know, his flight from blast off on the ground until he got returned to the ground with a parachute was 11 minutes. You know, the Wright brothers flew their plane for 5 minutes and 4 seconds. And so he wasn't in space for 11 minutes. That was the entire trip there and back. So there's that. The other thing is that, you know, we rightfully respect the Wright brothers. Why? Because they designed and built their plane. As a matter of fact, they were able to get it to fly when the scientists, and I use this analogy many times when we're talking about being impressed with people's credentials. It was Langley who was head of the Smithsonian, a guy who had impeccable credentials. He was the ultimate scientist of his time. He was the Fauci of his time. He could never get any of his planes to fly. Why? Because he was relying on the lift tables, because that was settled science, right? It's consensus. Yeah, it's a lift table. We've already got them. They were produced by people who were academics. That kind of scholasticism. Well, you know, the Wright brothers used the scientific method. They used empiricism. And so they didn't go by these established tables. They weren't sure they were right as they started doing some things. And, of course, these are guys who made bicycles, right? But they decided they wanted to make a flying machine. So they started doing their own research. They started watching birds who were designed to fly by God. Thought, oh, that'd be a pretty good starting point rather than going to the lift tables that Langley went to. And so they came up with the adjustable ailerons, and they saw the birds adjusting their wings and things like that. But then they also came up with a different lift table because they did their own original research. So they did original research. They questioned authority. They questioned established science. They designed it. They built it. What did Bezos and Branson do? They bought it. They just paid for it. And, you know, that movie, Those Magnificent Men, Their Flying Machines, this is one I always enjoyed. Had a lot of national stereotypes that were involved there. As a matter of fact, when you look at the different people in that movie, so you had the American, and he's a guy who's kind of been doing stunt flights and things like that. It's a contest of who can fly a distance and get there the first. He decides that he will take his plane that he works on. He keeps the thing running and everything. He's in the pit with it all the time. And they put him up against some rich guy from Italy who buys his plane, you know, like Bezos and Branson did. Or the nationalist guys, you know, from the government, the army from Germany. And, the bottom line was the person who was authentic, who was genuine, was the American because he designed and built it. But now we're supposed to all sit down and worship these guys who don't just buy it themselves. They're heavily subsidized, and that's the key thing. They get subsidized for their sports stadiums. They get subsidized for their satellite industry, the cars that they make, everything. Elon Musk, I just noticed that InfoWars has finally turned on Elon Musk, apparently. I don't know if that's truly the case, but I saw a negative thing about Elon Musk when I was looking up Elon Musk, the negative report from InfoWars. I mean, Alex has worshipped him like he's worshipped Trump, and both of them are globalist traitors. Should tell you something about discernment. I'll never forget when Elon Musk did that stunt saying that he shot a Tesla out into space. I don't know if he did or not. I don't know if it was faked or not. But I ripped it up one side down the other. And then as soon as my program was finished, Alex was like, this is it. This is, we're going to the stars. And this is humanity rising and all this other kind of nonsense. I couldn't believe it. It's a joke. But Elon Musk getting massive amounts of money from the government for his SpaceX, $2.8 billion and 52 contracts from NASA and the Pentagon over the past 14 federal fiscal years. That's nothing compared to the subsidies he's gotten for electric cars. Blue Origin, this is Bezos' company, has received nearly $500 million and 33 contracts. So he's getting a lot less money. He's not publicly traded. He's also not into the satellite business, but he's hoping. You know, he's hoping. Poor guy, he just can't get any respect in Washington, even though he bought the Washington Post for pennies in his terms. You know, he paid a piddling $250 million for that. just a couple of days' earnings off of his stock increases so that he could have leverage in Washington there. But things are starting to look better for him. You know, he got that Jedi contract that was set up for him with Mattis, and instead they turned it over to Microsoft. He got that pulled back. They're splitting it between the two of them. I'm sure he got a lot of help from Pelosi because her husband was doing insider trading on the Amazon contract that was there. But both Blue Origin and SpaceX, along with Dynetics, Scientologist, are they getting into this? Well, I think it's a different company. It's a company called Dynetics, not Dianetics. Anyway, they received lucrative NASA contracts in 2020 to design lunar landing systems to carry NASA astronauts on moon missions. There you go. Massive money subsidizing on that. But, you know, it's not just the big three guys that we have here, you know, Elon Musk and Bezos and Branson. It's not just those guys. Klaus Schwab is also angling to get in this. He's getting a slow start, but here's a picture of Klaus Schwab as he's putting together his space effort.
Leaks! Leaks!
Well, you get the idea. Yeah, that Nazi who wants to take over the world. I'm sure he'll be up there in space. Maybe he'll just hitch a ride with one of these heavily subsidized billionaires who are buying their way into the record books, not designing or building. And as we talk about these billionaires who are allowed to do whatever they wish and given massive amounts of money subsidizing to do that, you have Consumer Reports calling out Tesla on their full self-driving stuff, right? As Zero Hedge puts it, while it appears that Tesla's been having no problem baffling its customers and U.S. regulators, why? Yeah, because they can do anything they want. Regulatory capture, remember. With the BS of full self-driving, it appears the editors over at Consumer Reports are sharp enough to understand exactly what's going on. And, of course, Steve Wozniak, one of the co-founders of Apple, said, I love my Tesla, but he says that self-driving thing will kill you. It's trying to kill you. The Consumer Advocate periodical, Consumer Reports, said that it was concerned about Tesla using its existing owners to beta test new features. And they're also concerned the fact that everybody else who's on the road is being enrolled in a test without their informed consent. Oh, this sounds kind of like the big pharmaceutical companies, doesn't it? You know, the federal government heavily subsidized the vaccines. They heavily subsidized these cars. And then we have experiments being done without your full consent or without your full knowledge of exactly what these people are doing. The only difference is that they're not mandating all of us to get into a Tesla and turn on full self-driving, which is what they're doing with the vaccines, if you stop and think about it. They're putting your body on full self-driving to manufacture this dangerous protein spike. Putting your body on autopilot, hacking your software. And as we're talking about people being forced to participate in a dangerous experiment, and we've seen a lot of these Tesla crashes gone wrong, out of China particularly. I remember the one that wasn't too long ago. I didn't show it on the program, but it happened after we started doing this program. There was a Tesla on the interstate, and it was flying. Evidently under full self-driving, but the thing was amazing how fast it overtook a box truck and hit it in the back. It killed the Tesla driver. But, you know, the truck survived because of the difference between a car and a truck. And now Tesla said that they're going to be unveiling their Tesla Semi. That's going to be a very different situation. You've had a lot of situations where the Tesla vehicles have gotten confused because they operate on visual cues and things like that. They've crashed into box trucks multiple times. You had the one where it wasn't able to see the box truck that was heading across its path, and it went underneath the car, killed the individual. You've had them ram into police cars multiple times, fire trucks multiple times, did not see those stopped vehicles. But in most of these cases, it was a person who was in the car who died. It's not going to be that way if they do this with the Tesla semis. And, of course, that's a big reason why they're doing the semi. They want it to be auto-driving to get rid of the semi-drivers. It's going to be much worse than a car when this thing goes wrong. It's going to kill the people who are involved in this experiment that are in surrounding cars and don't know what's going on. It has an 80,000-pound capacity because it's a semi. You know, these things, that's why semi-trucks, you know, compared to cars that are anywhere from 2,000 pounds to up to maybe 6,000 pounds if it's a heavy battery electric vehicle. Still, even at 6,000 pounds, you don't stand a chance with these 80,000-pound trucks, not to mention the difference in the height, you know, where they just run all over you. In the UK, getting back to more threats to freedom, this is very significant. This came out yesterday. Journalists could face 14 years in prison if they embarrass the government under a new proposed law change. Think about that. What is this really about? I think this is targeted to one particular individual, and we'll talk about that coming up here. Journalists could face prison sentences of up to 14 years for stories that embarrass the government under plans to reform the Official Secrets Act. The 1989 Act is being updated to take into account the impact of the Internet age, especially in the area of speedy data transfer. Human rights organizations and the Law Commission, which drew up the proposal, say that there should be a public interest defense included to prevent the prosecution of journalists who receive leaked documents. But in a paper released for the consultation, the Home Office said such a move would undermine our efforts to prevent damaging unauthorized disclosures, which would not be in the public interest. Critics suggested that if the rules were in place now, it could have led to the prosecution of journalists who revealed this month that Matt Hancock was breaking COVID rules by having an affair with his married aide because it relied on leaked closed-circuit television footage. Now, for the people in the U.S., Matt Hancock is one of the officials running these lockdown rules. He was caught violating his own rules. And it wasn't so much that hypocrisy as it was, I think, they were upset about the fact that he was having an affair with a subordinate, which is a big no-no to the left. They probably would have looked the other way for the COVID hypocrisy, but they didn't like the fact that he was seeing a younger staffer because, you know, that's unequal power there. And again, you know, it is absolutely reprehensible. It ended his marriage. Nobody really cared about that. Right. Oh, so you got these COVID rules that you violated and you're having an affair with a person who works for you, perhaps putting pressure on them. But, you know, what he did to his family and his wife, nobody cares about that. We don't care about those rules anymore. But the point being that if this were put into place, they said the because this was leaked and because it embarrassed this official, the journalist who put that out there could face 14 years in prison. The revelation of Matt Hancock and his affair with a person who is also married, by the way, the revelation prompted his resignation and the end of his marriage. But last week, the Information Commissioner's Office faced criticism for searching two homes as part of an investigation into how the material emerged and found its way onto the front page of The Sun. So this is not speculation, because after this had massive impact for him, he was forced to resign. It ended his career, ended his marriage, probably not his career. He'll be fine after he recuperates from this. But showed him to be a lying hypocrite, not believing the rules, not obeying his own rules. Ended his position there in the government and his marriage. So they sent some people around to do an investigation and see how they got that information. Oh, well, okay. Under a consultation run by Priti Patel's Home Office, that's the person's name, Priti Patel. Should be Priti Pastel. I don't know if that male or female. I don't know. The investigation, which closes later this week, reporters who handle leaked documents would not have a defense if charged under these new laws that would claim anybody who's doing this is a foreign agent. Let me tell you who this is targeted to. First of all, this is very dangerous for everybody. This is a real Soviet-style crackdown on the free press in the UK. They don't have a First Amendment, but they have a long tradition of the free press there in many respects. And that's just a tradition, and so they're just sweeping it aside. But I tell you who this is targeting. It's targeting Julian Assange. And so maybe they're concerned about the fact that, or maybe they want to make Biden look like a hero. Say, oh, we're going to drop the charges here, and then they can come after Julian Assange for these new charges. Because, you know, Julian Assange did embarrass a lot of politicians, no doubt about that. He told the truth about them. That's about the worst thing you can do about these politicians. He was locked up for that. They're trying to kill him for that, and I think this law is specifically targeting him because they realize that's the kind of journalism that he did, an uncompromising revelation of the truth, regardless of who it hurts, that is the biggest threat to them. So they point out the National Union of Journalists said, existing legislation distinguishes very clearly people who are whistleblowers, who receive leaked information and put it out there for the public interest, and foreign spies. The government proposes to eliminate or to blur these distinctions, which they have done already. In the case of Julian Assange, the American government has done it, and the British government is partnering with them. The government also wants to increase the maximum penalties that journalists might suffer for receiving leaked material from 2 to 14 years. The National Union of Journalists has long argued that where whistleblowers believe they have acted in the public interest, they should be able to make this case in court. And if a jury agrees with them, they should be protected. Well, see, that's the reason this isn't happening is because just like in the U.S., the U.K. has lost the tradition of trial by jury and of jury nullification. Those were established in England. We incorporated them here in the U.S., but both of these countries have now turned their backs on those two things. And it was something that people used to understand and celebrate. You know, Gilbert and Sullivan even did a comic opera, Trial by Jury, you know. It was really ingrained in their understanding of what they needed to have a civilized government that was not tyrannical, trial by jury. So they're shutting that down. Oh, we should be able to tell people. Well, why can't you? Because you don't have due process anymore. They said, for example, documents that are made available online can now be accessed and utilized by a wide range of hostile actors simultaneously, whereas espionage will often only be to the benefit of a single state or actor. So in other words, it's not that hard to make a distinction between somebody being a whistleblower and somebody being a spy. A spy is working for a single state or state actor, whereas a whistleblower is making the information available to the public. Now, it may be used by people who are enemies of the state, but I have to say that if the state is doing this type of stuff, that is the most dangerous thing that we can have. Because a state that acts like a criminal, this is one of the reasons why it's always important to make sure that you err on the side of even letting a guilty person go free. Because if the state is allowed to lock up whoever they wish at any given point, then the state has a chance of becoming a criminal. The state has a chance of becoming a terrorist, and that is the most dangerous of all the scenarios because of their essential monopoly on force. We're going to take a quick break, come back, and I'm going to read you some letters. We'll also talk a little bit about what's happening with the Trump shots. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing.
If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
And as I was just talking about how the UK is going to criminalize up to the extent of 14.
Interested in a curated list of the finest classical music? Find it now at APSradio.com.
All right, and as I was just talking about the UK upping the charges for embarrassing an official, just embarrassing them, now, even if it's true, right? Shouldn't be a crime if it's true. But if you embarrass them, you could go to jail for 14 years. You know they are working right now very intensely on how the governments around the world, using Israeli spyware, can put information on the phone of activists, journalists, and other politicians to embarrass them, to blackmail them, to find out information about them. This is the Pegasus system. Ed Snowden has warned in a tweet when this story broke this last weekend. He said, this leak about what is happening with this Israeli spyware is going to be the story of the year. Well, it should be a very important story. It remains to be seen whether or not anything will be done about it. I still cannot believe that nothing was ever done about James Clapper, that he was never tried for lying to Congress under oath and to the American people. It was something that was very substantial, what he was lying about. It was not an ancillary issue, right? It's not the type of thing they did with Martha Stewart, where they came after her for insider trading and then asked her something like, what size shoe do you wear? Eight. No, I mean, 8.5. Well, you lied to us. That's it. You're going to jail. No, what James Clapper lied about was substantial. Now he is a paid liar. CNN, MSNBC, just like John Brennan. They not only lie and get away with it, they get paid for doing it. It's kind of like what Pompeo said to his conservative audience here at Texas A&M. He said, you know, I went to West Point, and we were told we don't lie, we don't cheat, we don't tolerate people who do. And then I go to the CIA, and I find out that we got classes on how to do all those things. We specialize in lying, cheating, and stealing. That is where our government is. So everything that everything in our lives is to be exposed to them. But we're not to expose anything about them, or we will go to jail. Everything in our life is to be an open book, but everything that the government does is to be hidden from us, including the amount of money that they spend on these programs. All of that is to remain hidden. This is a letter from a person who is a federal employee, very worried about the vaccine mandates. I'm a federal employee working for the Defense Information System Agency. I am concerned that the president will mandate the experimental shot for a federal workforce when they get the FDA approval. I think you can count on it. That's one of the reasons why they're saying employers can tell you whatever they want to do. Well, we're your employer. We're going to tell you what to do. They keep holding that out there. That has been the design from the very beginning, New England Journal of Medicine. We don't want to do this as a law. We want it to be done by employers so we don't have any due process challenges. And right now, if the federal government as an employer were to mandate this, you could have a challenge based on the fact that it only has emergency use authorization. But after they rubber stamp this with the FDA, all bets are off. And I guarantee you, because he's already even said it, that he's going to do it to the military. They have absolutely no qualms about using the military as guinea pigs, and they've exposed soldiers and other military personnel to hazardous, dangerous stuff forever without, you know, whether it's anthrax shots or using them as guinea pigs to stand there and, you know, miles away from the blast, but to get exposed to radiation with nuclear testing. We could go on and on. Take a look at what happened with depleted uranium shells with tank people and all of them getting cancer. They don't care. Agent Orange, doesn't matter. Just send them in. Let's see what happens. Henry Kissinger is quoted as saying, you know, they're animals. No, you're the animal, Kissinger. You're the animal. You're the war criminal. You and the people of your ilk. Anyway, she goes on to say, my agency is currently encouraging us all to get vaxxed. I will never put up with that put that poison in my body. My agency is still in the max telework situation, so I can continue working from home for now. However, that may soon change, and I will most likely need to be on site several days a week. That means that I should wear a mask because I'm unclean, because I'm not vaxxed. They technically aren't supposed to ask us if we've had the shot. I don't intend to wear a mask while on site. However, they have changed their policy of not asking if we're vaccinated to what is on the attached memo. Look at the second paragraph on page 3. They can ask us if they believe that we aren't vaxxed because of something we have said. There you go. So they're constantly listening, constantly watching everything that you do. And, of course, it's not just limited to what you're doing in person. I can't keep my big mouth shut, so I know they will know how I feel. And, by the way, they'll also be monitoring your social media content as well. They put something out on social media. This is a warning to all the people who work as federal employees. Just understand that. I watched a town hall meeting with this organization, Defense Information System Agency. Here are some of the takeaways. If you're on site and someone's not wearing a mask, you think they should be, you pass that along to a supervisor. It's your duty to pass that on, to snitch. Unvaxxed have to wear a mask. The mandatory and the vaxxed don't have to wear one. We're all encouraged to get vaxxed. It's safe and effective. You got to follow the CDC guidelines, 6-foot physical separation, which they just made up. They said most people with the Delta variant are unvaxxed. That is a lie. We know that. Vaccines are highly, highly effective, but there are some breakthrough cases. I think we should start calling them breakout cases. Or we should call them outbreak cases. These are outbreaks from the Trump shot. These are people multiple vaccinated. They get sick, and they're passing it on to other people who've had all their shots. It's an outbreak. It's a Trump outbreak. And so on and on. But we're seeing these same rules. I just read this again because everybody is starting to see these same rules coming from corporations. It's almost like there's an agenda or something. It's almost like there's some kind of health bureaucrat somewhere telling everybody what to do, what they can and cannot do. The lawsuit that I pointed out yesterday, 45,000 people, it alleges, died within 3 days of getting the vaccine. And that is highly correlated, but it's just a coincidence, right? And it's also a number that's not being put out there. So this federal lawsuit is seeking a couple of things. They're trying to get this released, but they're also trying to seek an immediate halt of the COVID vaccines. I'll tell you that's not going to be awarded. I'll be absolutely amazed if one judge has the integrity to do that. And I'll tell you what will happen is that judge will immediately get overruled by somebody higher up. We had the situation, as I pointed out before, where you had the EPA looking for people who had respiratory and heart issues so they could expose them to fine particulate matter that was 72 times higher than their limit. And the purpose of that was to try to increase the regulation of diesel engines, of anything that would have fine particulate matter, you know, coal power plants, any of that kind of stuff. So they were trying to extend that by getting people sick. They're looking for people who have respiratory and heart issues, giving them unfiltered fine particulate matter out of a exhaust. They pulled out the carbon monoxide because that would have killed them. But at the same time this was happening, there in North Carolina where we live in Research Triangle Park, being done there at that EPA, you had the EPA director, Lisa Jackson, under Obama, doing a dog and pony show with Markey, who from Massachusetts. He was just a congressman at the time. Now he's moved up to a senator. But they'd worked out a little bit of a dialogue back and forth. And she made it clear. She said, I'm not talking, Congressman Markey, about people getting sick. I'm talking about them dying. And we got more people dying from fine particulate matter than from cancer. You see how these officials, like Fauci, will lie to your face and continue to get away with it? And at the same time she was doing that, they'd selected people, they'd exposed these people to 72 times the level. So we said, look, if you believe your own press, if you believe your own regulations, you've just violated the Nuremberg Code. And the organization that I was working with at the time took them to court, sued to get an injunction to stop this from happening. And the judge just ignored it. You know, he said, look, they're exposing them to 72 times what they said is... You know, and she's is dangerous, and she's saying people are not getting sick, they're dying, and they're exposing them to this high level. This has got to stop. This is human experimentation. And by the way, these people are not fully informed about what is happening. They will not stop it. That is your government, and that's another reason why you shouldn't trust these vaccines from Trump and Fauci. Why the secrecy around the V-safe data, asks childrenshealthdefense.org, because this is the other part that I did not talk about yesterday. There's multiple databases that the CDC keeps about vaccine side effects. It's not just VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System. It's not just that. There's other ones around, and this is one of them. The CDC's V-safe system, a parallel system that is used to track reported adverse events via a smartphone app controlled exclusively by the CDC. Plaintiffs in this lawsuit raised concerns that information in the V-safe exceeds that in the VAERS. And so they claim that VAERS is inaccurate because it potentially includes fewer than 1% of vaccine adverse events, as reported previously. This is an assessment by the by HHS, Health and Human Services Department. So that only 1% are being reported. And so you've got parallel of these. You have one that's called VSafe. They can put it in there by a smartphone app controlled by the CDC. The whistleblower is saying, look at this. Look at how much higher they are in this one. But this VAERS is the public face of the vaccine adverse events. And it's much, much lower. The federal government is failing to provide data from these other monitoring sources, such as VSafe, CMS, and the military. The lawsuit has been filed by several firms, including Renz Law, R-E-N-Z, and this guy, Renz. The complaint and the whistleblower declaration have been made public. I was concerned when I gave this report yesterday because I can easily believe that this is heavily being underreported. And even if this was not true, as I pointed out, we've now seen the public VAERS system, not just this private internal VSafe system that the whistleblower is saying. They're saying 45,000 people have died in that system, not 11,000. And perhaps more people that are associated with that, but those 45,000 highly correlated to the vaccine because they died within 3 days of getting the shot. And so that's what that lawsuit is about. I was concerned about the source yesterday after the program when I saw that this Rents guy is affiliated with this dog and pony show that's running around the country, part of the Make America Trump Again crowd. Reawaken America Tour, Clay Clark. And I started looking at it, and at the same time I got an email from a listener who also had a bad feel about this because of people involved and because of what they're saying, particularly Michael Flynn, who is front and center with all this stuff, doing it really in partnership with Clay Clark, and also with a lot of the Christians who are in this. And I went to the website and I saw the truth about this, the truth about that, the truth about Roger Stone, the truth about the pandemic and all this. The one thing they didn't have there that was missing, the truth about Trump. The truth about Trump. Where is the truth about Trump? It is missing. And I saw a clip, one of the people releasing this, and actually very excited about it. And that's really kind of inappropriate when he's like, hey, we got 45,000 people who died. Hey, you know, that is a tragedy. I understand they're excited about the fact that we're going to expose this and maybe stop more people from dying. I get that. And it wasn't so much that as it was the fact that the person who was doing this, I didn't see it at first, the person who was doing it had a Trump shirt on. It's like, why are you not understanding that these are Trump shots? I don't get it. But I have to say, there's other law firms that are involved here. And there are people involved in this Reawaken America tours. And they've got a bunch of them coming up. You know, they've already had like two or three of them. And they've got more of them that are coming up. There's going to be one in San Antonio in a couple of months. And, you know, it's people like Lynn Wood. I'm sorry, Lynn Wood does not have any credibility. And I don't think Sidney Powell or Mike Flynn have any credibility anymore either. I think these are the people who are out there who are saying that we got to have Trump in because he's going to fix everything and nothing's going to be fixed unless we got Trump. They're focusing everything on one man. That should be a big red flag to you. That is false. That is not just idolatry and hero worship, but it's demonstrably false that he did nothing for the last 4 years, especially the last year of his administration. Everything that he did was wrong. The people that he hired were on the other team. I mean, what would you think about somebody who gets elected as a Republican and everybody in their staff has got a long history with the Democrat Party? Would you think of them as a traitor, as a turncoat? What, how would you understand that person? And yet that's exactly what Trump did. Not everybody that he put in was Democrat, but he put in a lot of Democrats, these bankers and others. He put in people who were globalists. He was supposed to be fighting the globalists, and yet all of his staff basically was globalist in all their agendas and all the different areas. And so, you know, when you have these people who are focused almost exclusively on the election, on overthrowing the, you know, and again, it was Trump who threw the election. Let's understand that. Trump threw the election by the lockdown that he kept in place that he could have stopped, just like he could have stopped censorship. He could have stopped censorship simply by going to a different platform. He could have stopped the lockdown by leading people. He could have had his rallies in defiance of it because his followers don't believe that stuff. They would have shown up. They wouldn't have died. That would have been very effective. You had the left would have had a fit, but of course, nothing happened in Sturgis with a big motorcycle rally there. You got 500,000 people who showed up. Oh, everybody's going to die. It's going to be a super spreader. Nothing happened. Everybody's going to die in these churches. Nothing happened. And they've got the demographics of a cruise ship. A lot of comorbidities and elderly people and those things. So he could have done that very effectively. He had the lockdown election that guaranteed that you're going to have the corruption that came with the mail-in election. And then after the fact, he pretends like he didn't know about it. Like this is something that wasn't anticipated. You had people in his own administration talking about it. You had Democrats talking about it. This is the way it's going to roll out. He's going to look like he's winning, and then it's going to come back because they're going to count the mail-in votes and so forth, which are going to be padded, obviously, right? You want to say that that's the case. Now, this writer says these people in these churches that they're going to will say that Jesus Christ or God here and there, they'll quote scripture here and there, but there's an abundance of misinformation that is basically New Age. A lot of these people that are there, and of course, there's people all over the place. It's a very big event, and they got a lot of people. That just because somebody is speaking there doesn't mean that it's necessarily that person is not credible. I don't want to have people guilty by association, but you got to understand the main thrust of this guy, Clay Clark, and Flynn is basically to make America Trump again. That is not going to solve anything. Not at all. This is a deception. It is a misdirection. It's a deception with a lot of bad theology. It's a deception with a lot of lies about this last election. Again, yes, it was crooked. And yes, we knew. And yes, Trump made it the most, he made it the most crooked election we've ever had. And then he used that to fundraise. And they're still doing fundraising. That's what this whole thing is. It's a big fundraising tour for the Trump crowd and the speakers who are there. Just be aware. Have some discernment about these people. Some of them will have genuine information. There's some good doctors that are there. And I think, hopefully, I don't know anything about Renz or his law firm, but there's other law firms that are involved there. And that sounds like a legitimate thing. We'll have to wait and see. These allegations will have to be vetted as time goes out, but it's worth watching. We've had 18,900 people reported dead and 1.8 million injured in Europe in their database. So it's not all that much of a stretch to say 45,000 in the U.S. because understand that this European database is only about half of the countries in Europe that they're collecting this information on. So if you were to double that, you'd be getting to a figure that is pretty close to what this whistleblower was saying here in the U.S. I think what we're seeing, the difference we're seeing between the two countries is that they're a little bit more practiced and effective in lying to the public and deceiving the public here in the U.S. A top epidemiologist says that the CDC is undercounting vaccinated COVID cases. This is Dr. Harvey Risch of the Yale School of Medicine. He says, some months ago, the CDC stopped counting breakthrough cases, the large number of cases, and people who had been vaccinated. Yes, I reported that at the time. It was a very good analysis from Off Guardian in the UK. Again, pointing out that they have a very different standard for vaccinated and unvaccinated people in terms of identifying cases, and a different magnification in the PCR test. As well as unvaccinated people, if they fail the PCR test at a higher magnification, they are considered to be a case. We've got a case here, right? because you're unvaccinated. But if you're vaccinated, they test you at a lower magnification, 5,000 times lower, and you must be hospitalized or dead before they'll count you as a case. No matter how sick you are at home, unless they put you in the hospital, they will not count it. So yes, of course, that was months ago that the CDC changed those rules, and I'm glad that a physician from the Yale School of Medicine went public with that on Fox News. As we reported a couple of weeks ago, the event that was held with Senator Ron Johnson in Wisconsin and the former football star Ken Rutgers, he is both a Hall of Famer and a Super Bowl champion, and his wife had a very severe reaction to the vaccine. In an interview with RFK Jr., 6 months now after she's had the Moderna vaccine, he says his wife's injury is getting progressively worse. Now, she had immediately sensations of tingling and numbness. They've grown progressively worse. She's has symptoms that are similar to multiple sclerosis. She experienced swollen lymph nodes and numbness and tingling sensation immediately. Then it progressed from her face all the way down to her legs, and now it is getting worse all the time. And he was the one, he and his wife set up that website, and you saw the testimony. You had a mother who was talking about her daughter who has been in constantly in the hospital, serious conditions, and sobbing. I played that. I also played a middle-aged lady who was in tears because she said, you know, she was okay for like 2 days, and then all of a sudden her legs just gave out suddenly. And she hasn't been able to get use of her legs back, and the doctor told her, you just better be used to. You're never going to get out of that chair. And she just started crying when she said that. It was just heartbreaking to see these testimonies. They put these testimonies together on their website. They played it at the news conference. And the people were not angry. That's the amazing thing to me about it. The people got angry at Ron Johnson, the senator, for showing that suffering. They got angry at the football player for showing that suffering. They didn't get angry at the pharmaceutical companies who are making so much money creating that suffering. They didn't get angry at Trump, who gave them the money and told them to run this out without testing it. They didn't get angry at Fauci. They continue, the Republicans continue to defend Trump, and the Democrats continue to defend Fauci. And yet people suffer. And as Ron Johnson responded to that, he said, well, you know, that's how could you not have concern for these people that you see before you? I mean, one story after the other, it immediately happened after they had the vaccine. Yeah, it doesn't happen to everybody. You know, everybody does not, everybody doesn't die of COVID that's exposed to it either, do they? Very few people, actually. Very few people who are even sick and test positive die from COVID. Why don't we apply that standard? Unbelievable. We deserve and strongly request transparency and acknowledgement of these vaccine reactions so there can be a beginning to the discoveries and developments in the care that we desperately need. And that begins by shutting it down so that other people don't get it. That's what the football player said in his letter. And we're pleading that you make the medical community aware of these reactions so we can get the medical care that we need and hopefully recover and return to our previously healthy lives. Well, there may be no recovery. You know, one of the things, one of the lies that was told by Paul Offit that I covered yesterday in that op-ed, well, it was a back and forth with CNN. CNN was saying, here's all the objections, you stupid people out there who don't want to get vaccinated have. And so we're going to have this answered by experts like Paul Offit. And Paul Offit said, show me just one case where the vaccine didn't show up in 2 months, the adverse effects didn't show up in 2 months if it was bad. Well, we did have these things show up way before two months. I mean, within 2 months, we had about as many people had been harmed by this stuff as in a couple of decades combined of all the other vaccines. But that didn't stop Paul Offit. But that's an outlier. That doesn't typically happen with these vaccines. As I pointed out yesterday, pandemics, it took a year for them to see narcolepsy, catalepsy in children because it showed up in children first, the children the most vulnerable. But it still took a year. But that's the best documented case we have of a harmful vaccine because it happened so quickly. It usually takes much longer than a year to show up. We had people who were medical professionals going to the WHO before this happened. It was within a year before this happened. And they were saying, we're not testing vaccines long enough. We're only testing them for 2 or 3 years. We've got to do it longer. So they're lying about that. But the sad thing about this, and one of the reasons why we want to stress this to people, is because those kids who got narcolepsy a decade later, they were committing suicide because they could not live their life. There was no cure for that. You don't typically see the adverse effects of these vaccines having a cure. And so you need to understand that. You may be making a one-way decision if you decide to do this. And if you decide to do it because you have a society that wants you to have a college degree in order to participate, or they demand as an employer that you have to have a vaccine in order to have a job, you don't want to be a part of that society. That's the thing you have to pull back and look at. It's a freeing thing if you actually stop and think about it. Many people are enslaved, and I've known this, I've known people in all kinds of professions, because they have spent a lot of time in a particular job or they've invested a lot of time in getting a particular degree. They hate it. I've had one person after the other, all different types of fields, tell me that story. Now, I spent all this time, I really hate my job. I said, why don't you do something different? Well, I've invested all this time and money in this. And it's like, yeah, but you hate it. Go do something else. You should hate working for somebody that is going to denigrate you and demand that you take an experimental vaccine. You should hate a job like that. You're better than that. You're a human being created in the image of God, and you should not be treated like somebody's slave. Don't enslave yourself to this. You know, there's other ways that you can do this. We have an incoming freshman who's now lost her scholarship to Brigham Young University in Hawaii after it refused to exempt her from the COVID-19 vaccine requirements. She already has Guillain-Barré syndrome. She's already had a bad reaction to a vaccine. She is, because of her having Guillain-Barré syndrome, she is part of the group that should not be subjected to this. And yet, they're not going to let her in unless she gets it. She said, although attending Brigham Young University, Hawaii was my dream, she said, the risks associated with the coronavirus simply do not outweigh the reward. I do not want to have a relapse and have another episode of Guillain-Barré. It's really not worth it to me. No, it isn't. And that's where we have to make the distinction. New York Times is really pouring on, and so is CNN, pouring on the criticism of Fox News for obvious reasons. But what they're talking about is the fact that internally in Fox News, they have a kind of a vaccine mandate, well, not a vaccine mandate policy, but they're pushing it pretty hard on their employees. And they said, oh, look at this. You know, we have some of the people like Sean Hannity is pushing this very hard. He said to his viewers this Monday, please take COVID seriously. I can't say it enough. Do I need to tell you anything else to get you to turn Sean Hannity off at this point? You hear that coming from somebody? You hear that coming from somebody who has been a lapdog for Trump, excusing everything that he's done, now cheering the Trump shots? Do you want to listen to this guy anymore? Shame on you if you do. He says, I believe in the science of vaccination. You know, Sean Hannity is a nice guy when you meet him. And I had privilege of meeting him briefly at the DNC convention. He's a very nice, courteous person to everybody. But he's not the brightest person if he's going to start saying stuff like this. Laura Ingraham said, well, we are not doctors. And so she's not going to make any approval of that, I guess. But Ducey was also making similar remarks. So was Brian Kilmeade. Yeah, Brian Kilmeade. Telling viewers to make your own decision. He's not a doctor. He's the one who said that, not Laura Ingraham. She accused Democrats of trying to deplatform, cancel, or defame, or eliminate inconvenient opinions regarding their COVID response. But, of course, it's Tucker Carlson who has been the most, I think, the bravest about this. You could tell from the very beginning when you had the Fox doctor who went down and talked to Trump about the upcoming vaccine, whether he would take it. Would he take it at the beginning or the end? If I, well, I'll take it whenever, you know, said Trump. That's a great thing. That's a wonderful thing. I'll take it. If I take it at the beginning, they'll say I'm jumping ahead of the line. If I don't take it, they'll say I'm afraid of it. So I don't know. You tell me when I should take it. And when they came back, it was on the Tucker Carlson show that they put that on. And Tucker Carlson almost did an eye roll. So I was like, I can tell he doesn't like this. And then he had to have the doctor on again. And he kind of came pretty close to directly challenging him. You could tell that he didn't buy into it. He said, I'm not getting it. You know, that was about as close as he could get. But he's not on board with this. But you have Hannity, Ducey, who are pushing it very hard. Brian Kilmeade, of course. Brian Kilmeade is just a sellout. This guy is just unbelievable. Neocon, statist, unbelievable. But anyway, when you look at what is happening with Fox News, why wouldn't you expect that Fox News is going to be pushing this on their employees? Because Fox News, their key sponsors are the big pharmaceutical companies, the Ask Your Doctor shows. So they've implemented their own version of a vaccine passport, says CNN, while some of their top personalities attack them. Well, you know the corporation, it's not hard to understand. Tucker Carlson is being honest with people, and you have the Fox Corporation, which is pushing the products that that it makes its money off of. So that's the tricky thing, you know. And it's only because Tucker Carlson is so overwhelmingly popular there that he can push back and tell people the truth. So I'm glad that he is doing that. Again, as I pointed out yesterday, the we had a picture of one person in North Carolina going door to door, harassing people to get the vaccine. But in another county in North Carolina, in Mecklenburg County, that's where Charlotte is, the biggest city in the state, they have the county there. Mecklenburg County is offering door to door vaccinations, exactly what we thought would happen. That's the problem. You know, as much as I love North Carolina, I really love the people. I love the climate and all the other things that are there. It is just run by Democrats. And so you got, you know, the guy that's running it now is a Democrat. Doesn't surprise me that it's happening door to door. The only thing that I'm surprised at is that Mecklenburg County is largely a Republican area. You've got a lot of counties that are overwhelmingly Democrat counties, places where Durham is and where Chapel Hill is. Those are overwhelmingly Democrat. I would have expected to see something like that happening there, but this is happening in a Republican area. That is the only thing that's surprising about that. Again, as we look at the UK, Boris Johnson is saying that you're not going to go anywhere, do anything. All the nice things in life and all of your opportunities are going to be dependent on you getting the vaccine. In France, the sanitary pass, as they're calling it, you have protests against the vaccine regime. It's going to remain. People are going to have to push back against this. And of course, you know, you had the yellow vests who were doing this for quite some time, and they eventually were shut down by the pandemic. But now it is coming back, and now you've got an alliance of people who are tired of the lockdown. They don't want the vaccine passports, and they want to have their life back, which is what the yellow vest protests were about in the first place. It was about that great reset push to take away your ability to own a car and to travel. Greece is now blocked not only singing on the island of Mykonos, but also access to indoor restaurants, bars, cafes, movie theaters for the unvaccinated. And by the way, I misspoke. It's not singing. That was the amazing thing. They said, we're not going to let you play any music on speakers. Why? Because if you play music on speakers, people have to lean closer to each other to hear each other talk, and then they could get sick. That's the idiotic reasoning that is happening there. And they only did it on one Greek island. But now they're going to ban everything that is pleasant or any job opportunities. You can't go to a restaurant, bar, cafe, movie theater if you are not vaccinated in Greece. This is how this is escalating, never backing up. They continue to move forward. And of course, as we look at what is coming, it is going to be coming this fall. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back. We'll take a look at some more of your letters that people have sent to us. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via or donate via Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.
All right, and welcome back. Taking a look at what is happening in Florida, we have Ron DeSantis says that you have an appellate court has now reversed the decision of a lower court on the vaccine mandates to get onto cruises. The Florida legislature and DeSantis are one of the few places where they have shut down the ability of corporations to mandate this stuff on the public. And that includes, of course, the cruises. And so they pushed back, and they had the CDC join with them to try to force everybody that wants to take a cruise to be vaccinated. And the governor there, DeSantis, said no. They went to court. The judge who heard the case threw it down and said this is an egregious grab of power by the CDC, and he's true about that. There's absolutely no way that they have that type of power. Now, however, an appellate court has looked at this and said that they are going to allow that mandate to stand, to which DeSantis says, well, I will take this all the way to the Supreme Court if I need to. That's good. I'm glad that he's going to fight that. I support him. He's doing exactly the right thing in that aspect. I don't support everything that DeSantis does, but he's been very good in terms of that aspect. He has pushed the vaccine in many places, but he is pushing against this power grab by the CDC and against the private corporations forcing this on individuals. But if he goes to the Supreme Court, I'm not so sure that he's going to win. I mean, we just had the Supreme Court decision where you had Kavanaugh after you had four lower court judges and one appellate judge shut down the CDC on their power grab over moratorium. It was a moratorium on evictions and foreclosures that they've extended multiple times. They've already extended it at least twice under Trump and at least twice under Biden. So it went to the Supreme Court, and it was tied 4-4, and Kavanaugh made the deciding decision, and he said, well, they don't have this authority, but I'm not going to take it from them because they promised they're going to get rid of that at the end of July. I don't know that they are. They've already extended it several times. They had lost five times in court, and the last time they got to an appellate judge, and that judge found in their favor, and then Kavanaugh says, well, they don't have it, but I'm going to let them have it and let them give up the power. And that is the most dangerous approach that we can take, folks. The idea that we are going to allow the people who have stolen the unlawful power that they've exercised over us, people like Fauci, people like local and state public health officials, to exercise these dictatorial powers over us until they're tired of it. And then they give us back a little bit of our freedom and then take it back again. And so what he did, what Kavanaugh did, was absolutely reprehensible. So I'm not so certain that DeSantis is going to win that if he goes to the court, because we've seen what the court has become. We've got another two John Roberts now in terms of Kavanaugh and Barrett. They're a couple of vacillating career politicians. And so now we basically have three people that are in that category. We've got the reliably statist liberal branch. And then we've got three conservatives. That's how the thing is set up. So we've got Alito, Clarence Thomas, and Gorsuch are reliable conservatives. The others are reliable liberal statists. And then you've got the politicians who are kind of closet statists. And that's going to be Kavanaugh, Barrett, and John Roberts, making ridiculous justifications to empower the state. We've seen that with John Roberts. We've seen it now with both Barrett and with Kavanaugh. This is a letter from a listener saying, I'm curious if you run into a group commonly known as the sovereign citizens. Many claim the U.S. is a corporation, literally. They also claim that federal citizens have no guaranteed rights because they're not state citizens. And because of vocabulary and self-identification, you turn over your protection given by the Constitution because of legalese. One thing that makes me vulnerable to this movement is that I can see with my own two eyes that the U.S. is a for-profit institution. Also, their solution is that we have to declare ourselves properly through paperwork in order to have constitutional protection. But their solution also requires the courts and whoever to respect some magical paperwork. That's the key. That's the key. These people are a law unto themselves. Just look at what I just said about the CDC. They don't care what the Constitution says. You got Supreme Court justices. They don't care what the Constitution says. They openly admit that they're going to allow the CDC to continue to violate the law. And that's basically where I am on this sovereign citizen thing. I've seen all the stuff about, you know, we're under maritime law, and you know the gold fringe on the flags and all that sort of thing. We have to understand. And we have to take this from the standpoint, we know what's right and what's wrong. And there isn't some kind of secret, well, there is a secret handshake and a secret code and a secret agenda and all this other kind of stuff that's happening with these people. But we need to call them out on the basis of what we know publicly, what they swear, no matter what they do behind closed doors or what, you know, they got their fingers crossed or they're working on maritime law, whatever. They all take an oath to the Constitution. We can read the Constitution. We know the principles of the Declaration of Independence. We know the Christian principles this country was founded on. We know what's right and wrong. And we take a stand on that. We don't play legal games because you have to understand if you go to court, and I've had people in the past, not sovereign citizens, but I've met people who are tax protesters. In the Libertarian Party, I would meet a lot of them. And they would make arguments about how the income tax amendment wasn't properly passed. And they would make other points of law that I think they were right on, by the way, many of these points of law that they would make. But here's how it works out. You go there with all of your papers to have a trial. And you start to make the case. And the judge says, well, Judge, I've got this, and I would like to ask the IRS about this inconsistency and what that is that they're doing and how this law could possibly apply. And the judge says, next question. It's a kangaroo court. We've seen this with the Bundy family, right, and all the people that were there with the Bundy standoff. They would go before judges who would say, by the way, you want to ask, we're going to say that you people were intimidating the officers that were there. The defense attorney says, but wait a minute, we got pictures of people who are ducking down, who don't have arms or anything. They're ducking down behind concrete barriers to hide from the federal officials there, who were, by the way, threatening to shoot people over the PR system. I was there. But they said, it looks to me like they're afraid of the federal officers, not this single guy who is sitting there with a gun on the same side. So it's like, are they being threatened? You're not going to ask that question. Be quiet. You're not going to ask that question. Was there something illegally being done? Or in the case of Ross Ulbricht, they wanted to ask and expose to the jury the fact that the Silk Road website had been taken over by a couple of FBI agents who are currently under indictment and being prosecuted for embezzling money. And so they wanted to point that out to the jury. The judge said, you can't talk about that. And the judge put all kinds of gag orders on the people in the Bundy trials. I've seen it in all these different trials. They will restrict what you can say. So don't expect that you're going to be able to make a detailed legal argument and have an honest evaluation of that. They'll just shut you up. That is not the way we fight this. And the whole thing about sovereign citizens, I know that they have sent a lot of this stuff. This is one of the things that they try to have given misinformation to a lot of law enforcement about that. Going back to the 2000, I think it was 2009, I think it was after the 2008 election, it was the MIAC report that came out of a fusion center, and they were telling people, they were telling law enforcement officers, be on the lookout for anybody who's got a Ron Paul bumper sticker or Chuck Baldwin bumper stickers. Chuck Baldwin was the candidate for the Constitution Party. Anybody who's got a sticker like that, they could be a sovereign citizen, somebody who will kill you. You know, they put that on them. And it was the Bundy situation. That had been long known that that was going to be a label they were going to put on people to essentially identify them as domestic terrorists, to call them sovereign citizens, and to pump up law enforcement that they were going to need to be able to use lethal force to defend themselves against these people. And it was in that context that in 2014, when the Bundy thing happened, I was absolutely amazed to see Glenn Beck try to throw Clive and Bundy under that bus, saying, well, you're a sovereign citizen, aren't you? And Clive and Bundy's like, what? I don't know what you mean by that, but yeah, I think citizens are sovereign. And, you know, he meant it in a constitutional way, you know, Ninth and Tenth Amendment, you know, Tenth Amendment, the power is not delegated to the federal government explicitly or reserved to the states and to the people. So, yeah, I think people are sovereign. He didn't realize that Glenn Beck was trying to put a label on him, trying to put a death sentence on him. So be very careful about the labels that you apply to yourself. I refuse to let myself have those labels put on me. And also understand that semantics are not going to be anything that is going to save you. No magical paperwork that you're going to file is going to save you. We have to confront this on principle. And we have to confront it face-to-face. We have to take them on directly. We can't do this indirectly. We can't do this by making America Trump again. We have to take these things on directly. Anything else is not going to work. Anything else is simply going to be a piece of paper. And they view the Constitution as a piece of paper. And we have to say, the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. You swore to uphold the Constitution, and that makes you a steward. That makes the Constitution the king. Lex Rex is what the founders said. And that makes you an unfaithful steward. It takes away your authority, even though you may still have some power. And that's what we have to respect. That's the difference here. What the people who are in the sovereign citizen movement don't understand is that while these people don't have authority because they're violating the Constitution, they do have the power to do a lot of very dangerous things. So we have to understand that, act accordingly, confront the lies, confront the danger without quibbling with this and without trying to set up our own special thing. Just go straight at it. You know, don't try to do it by finesse. All right, that's all the time we've got for today. Thank you for joining us. And I'll just remind you again, if you want to watch us, you can find us on APS Radio as well as on Aftermath FM, DLive, Trovo. And we have all the links to the video, the full video show, as well as all the podcasts, because it comes out of Podbean and it comes out of Spreaker, but it is broadcast all the major platforms, and you can find them there. All of that is at The David Knight Show, along with how you can support us. Thank you for listening.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation.
They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Interested in a curated list of the finest classical music? Find it now at APSradio.com.